It's The Huddle, powered in part by Reuben James. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Located on Main Street in Burlington. And by Stacey Adamski with Adamski Law. Charging no fees unless she wins for you. Now, it's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game. At 1013thegame.com. And streaming worldwide on the 101.3 The Game app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. All to count to four. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Gotta love the Bruins. Let's go. Oh, hurry up. Drop the puck. Let's go.
Now, see, this is more, because sports radio is often a depressing place, this is more of a Celtics obituary show than it is a Bruins hype show.
Well, that's ridiculous.
He's not even a Celtic fan.
No, I'm who? Me?
You, yeah.
No, they're number four on my list for Boston. Yeah, always have been.
Disgusting.
Look, I'd love to spend the whole show talking about Chris Sale's immaculate inning, but...
Yeah, by the way...
Nine pitches.
Are we going to have to seriously listen to this guy about Chris Sale not getting the win last night in that masterpiece of a start?
He's going to have a tough time getting the 10 wins.
It was against the Orioles.
I know, but... A two-hitter over eight innings with 14 Ks is what it is.
I might as well have been playing for the Orioles.
Stop.
Look, come on.
Look, he was excellent yesterday, and the Red Sox did win, but let's not bury the lead. One is the Celtics. We'll get to that in a minute, but Arnie, I have to say that you and I helped pull off the greatest upset in the history of pickup basketball. The greatest upset.
Yeah, pretty much so. We played 2-on-5 is what it was.
The greatest upset in the history of Williston Central
School. It was 2-on-5.
And that's the lead.
Pretty much. You know what,
Brady, I said we'll get to the Celtics in a minute.
I shot like I had two broken arms. I'm telling you, I'm serious. They have, you know, I can no longer just get my shot off because there's so many people in my grill now, Rich. I just can't.
It's the respect.
Yeah, I need more room. I just can't get my shot. I try to shoot on the dribble, and I'm shooting up air balls and stuff. It was horrible. I was terrified of myself.
Well, we played. It was me, Arnie, and three other guys.
Borderline knew the rules of the game. I mean, borderline better than you, Rich. Better than you.
How so? I mean, just hacking away at
you
the whole
night? They just didn't know how to play the game. You know, they just barely dribble.
A little bit older.
Did they actually know the rules?
Didn't.
Barely.
When you pointed out to the free throw line, did you say, that's the free throw line? And they said, stop, I know that.
Well, we played 5-on-5, but it was me and Arnie and three other guys that are against... Probably four really, really good players.
Yeah, really good players
on the other team. It was they kind of looked like the Boston Celtics. You're like, okay, they should have.
They were equal.
No wonder they lost.
Like they should run through the gym and never lose all night, but they did. Arnie and my team won 21-18. I had 12 points in that game.
Yeah.
Four threes, and Arnie hit the game winner because I set
from
up
half
for
court.
Him. No.
Where was it really?
Pretty much.
It was
you
from
hit
the 3-point line.
You hit a game-winning three?
Yeah, well, you know.
I can't picture this.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to believe. I made it over your buddy's face.
My buddy.
What's his name again?
Derek O'Grady.
Mr. All Milton.
Mr.
All Milton. He's lost it, obviously, because I'm better than him now. So.
Well, what happened is that I had hit four threes, and everybody was gunning for me. So I dribbled to the corner and got triple-teamed, and... There was
I launched a deep one, Brady. Don't say it was just a three-pointer. It was barely.
Of course, there was no one
court
within 8 feet of him defensively.
O'Grady was closing in on me. He almost smacked me in the face.
Uh-huh.
I had to go ahead and say, face! If you're the best Milton's got, I knew I should have gone to high school here in Vermont. I would have been all-star.
I went to Milton High, just not Milton, Vermont.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So no, you played good, but you played well, Brady.
Thank you. I shot well. It's one of these things where if I play basketball every day, I end up invariably getting worse. If I don't touch the ball for 3 weeks, I can't miss.
Yeah, it's like golf and bowling.
By the way, I got to find something to do the next couple of days. My wife's out of town.
I know.
I don't know what to do.
Well, what would you like to do? Your chauffeur.
I'm already having panic attacks because I got to feed the dogs. I got to walk the dogs.
Got to feed yourself.
Yeah, I got to feed myself.
Oh,
keep
no.
myself alive.
You're going to be missing your wife's cooking, that's for sure.
Do you even walk the dogs?
Now I do. When she's not around, I don't let them crap in the house. I got to take them outside, though.
All right. So 655-6672. Arnie is free. Completely free with nothing to do for how many days? Three?
I got to work on the weekend, so.
Well, that doesn't count. It's late at
really
night.
Really Friday night. Friday night, nothing
from now
to do.
Until, so this is it. You have a 28-hour window-ish?
Yeah. give or take.
28 hours of raising hell.
I may call in sick tomorrow if I have a really good time tonight. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, I wanted to try that, and you guys wouldn't let me. So.
Because you take so many days off. Brady, what's on the show? We got a lot to get to.
Plenty to get to. We will talk all about the Celtics from every angle. We'll get you ready for the Bruins. We'll do that in 15 minutes as they get ready for the Carolina Hurricanes. Some history made yesterday in a Red Sox win, and something very exciting in the 4-Minute Football Fix. We're going to have Samuel Gold of The Athletic in. He did a profile, a video breakdown of Patriots first-round draft pick N'Keal Harry. He's going to stop by to tell us what he saw and how Harry will fit in the Pats offense. That's at 5:40 in the 4-Minute Football Fix. But we got to start here. The Celtics were awful. They shot awful. They played awful. Their intensity was awful. And not only did they lose, not only is the season over, they got run out of the gym from the third quarter on.
Boom.
Right after halftime. 116-91 is the final, but that's just a formality. The season is over.
They got outscored in every quarter. They were never in it. Did it ever feel like at any point? And I mean, we said on the show yesterday, look, obviously they're...
I said they were going to win.
Oh, that's right. But, I mean, did it ever feel that their head...
No.
I kind of look at their relationship with their coach as I'm sitting there watching that game going, this coach has completely lost this team.
I disagree.
No, but just throw him under the bus right off the bat.
Look, I'm not blaming Brad Stevens for that loss yesterday. What I'm saying is that his team had no interest in even being on that court last night. It was ridiculous.
And Bernie Siplicki, you know, our buddy who used to do Sports Saturday, former UVM standout, he asked me in a text, he goes, have the Celtics quit on themselves or have they quit on Brad Stevens? Right. The answer is they quit on themselves. This is not about Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens is not perfect. And I'll defend Brad Stevens all offseason long if I have to. And I'm already fighting off Travis and Milton on Twitter here about how Brad Stevens should be fired and should be gone.
Don't think so.
Brad Stevens belongs here. Brad Stevens has things he needs to examine in the offseason too. However, they quit on themselves. This is a team that did have no interest in being there yesterday. And I did... In the second quarter, they were down 12 or so, and they came back on like a mild 7-0 run, and Kyrie hits a three, and Horford hits a three, and you started to think, okay, they're going to get it close before halftime, and then we're going to start cooking again. And then it ended up that Milwaukee just went on another run before the half and then to start the third quarter. But they quit on themselves. This is not about Brad Stevens.
Milwaukee was the better team in the series. Milwaukee deserves to win, so let's go get that off the plate. Oh, yeah. So congratulations to the Bucks. They're actually a very, very good team.
And
so,
you were wrong.
Whoa. I was talking about what?
You said the Celtics were going to win in 4 or 5 after game one.
Yeah, I changed my mind in game two.
In game two, when they were down 1-0.
I got to tell you, this was quite the embarrassment for the Celtics.
Yeah, it was.
It really was because you don't feel like they're any closer to a championship. Last year, you felt there was some hope. This year, you don't. They got taken to the woodshed. Defensively, they were just horrific out there. Kyrie had his worst 4-game stretch that I've ever seen.
He had more shot attempts than points in this series.
And what is, and I tweeted this out yesterday with about 4 or 5 minutes left in the third, maybe about 6 minutes left, maybe I'll say 5 minutes left in the third. And I noticed he's out of the game, doesn't come back in the, I don't think he came back in the third, he's getting his rest. And I'm like, shouldn't the 15 games he took off during the course of the year, isn't that why you play every minute in the deciding game? Because you took off 15 or 20 games or whatever the hell it was? To get ready for the playoffs, shouldn't you at least, if you're going to go down, it's the end of the third, go down swinging instead of sitting on the bench? I know they got clobbered, but this is why you sat 15 games off the regular season.
I know. I agree with you. When I noticed Kyrie out early, you know, with 8 minutes left in the fourth, I thought it was on. However, it just goes to show you the hypocrisy of whether it's the sports media, the hypocrisy of fans. Arnie, you're now saying you got to go down swinging. You got to go down swinging. However, when he's talking about, I should shoot 30 shots instead of 22. It's dude, stop shooting.
No. I don't mean shooting is swinging. I mean go down swinging by being on the court.
Well, what's he gonna do? Yeah. Just stand there?
No.
If he's on the court, he's gonna have to try to
score. No. But I meant just play. Just do whatever you do. Offense, defense, assist, shoot. Yeah, just play the game.
Kyrie.
You're not doing anything sitting on the. Hey. You sat out 15 games because you're waiting for the playoffs. You're down 3-1, and you're down double digits in the third. This is it. Get off the bench and play the game. Not, if you're tired, what the hell's going on here?
Have you ever seen a team just go off the cliff faster than that? I mean, remember game one, and it's like, oh, man, they took them. They got them in Milwaukee. Here we go. They're going to win it in 5 or 6. And all the demons and all the false promises that we blamed them for during the regular season are just going to go away.
But you know what is crazy? All this talk, and it doesn't matter what network you're listening to, ESPN, Fox, it does not matter where you're finding your content on the Celtics today. And everyone is hammering the attitude. Everyone's hammering Stevens. Everyone's hammering Kyrie. Everyone's talking about the future. All of those are conversations that need to be had. But it really comes down to this. The Celtics shot awful all series. We mentioned it. 54% in game one and progressively downhill after that. They shot 31% yesterday. They shot 17% from three. Okay. Every other stat yesterday is relatively close. Turnovers are almost identical. Rebounds are almost identical. Even points in the paint, which Milwaukee had been dominating, was pretty darn close yesterday. Fast break points, the Celtics actually won yesterday. The separator in this series was field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. Put all the other junk aside, field goal percentage was what was bad. And that is why I can't sit here and say, hey, break up the team and let Kyrie go here. Four games. A four-game sample size of them not shooting bad is what caused this. The attitude yesterday was poor because they were dejected. But when you shoot 31%, you're not beating anybody.
Okay, but if you're shooting 31% or 35% or whatever for the last four games, what do you do? How do you address that in the offseason? You can't just break up the team because they had four crappy games in a row.
You can't.
But you look at some of these guys. I mean, Tatum did nothing. Horford did nothing. Jaylen Brown did nothing. It was a team-wide funk that they couldn't get out of. Gordon Hayward. These guys are all set to come back next year. So you can't break up a team. You just, what do? Just hope they shoot better when it matters most?
I agree with Brad Stevens. He did a bad job. I'll finally agree with him. He did an awful job.
I like the way he came out and said that.
Yeah, because he did an awful job. Absolutely. And you know what? I like when you said you can't blame Stevens. They had a four-game bad shooting streak. Oh, we can't blame him on the bad shooting. But on the good shooting, we give him credit for being a coaching genius. You know, Milwaukee, and one of our texters said this, and yeah, they made a coaching change. And look what they've done to this year. Maybe Stevens can only take him so far. Maybe it's time for him to go also.
Who? Who do you want? Who's there?
Look at the coach of Milwaukee. Done a pretty good job now, if I can pronounce his name.
Budenholzer. I never even heard of him.
You don't have to have a big name anymore.
Fired from Atlanta.
Jawan Howard is a big name, supposedly, and he's never coached also. Hey, Brad Stevens is giving you 6 years. And how many times have you been in the finals? How many more years do you want to give him? You tell me. 7, 8? 9?
I want to be an opportunity.
Where you want to draw the line?
Life.
Go ahead. Well, there you go. Then maybe you'll never make it to the finals. He said he did a bad job. I agree with him that he did a bad job. I got to make changes. If I'm a Celtic fan or if I'm the Celtics owner, Kyrie's not coming back. Thank you. Goodbye. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out. I just don't need you.
And I think Kyrie pretty much, it seems like he pretty much sealed his fate in that post-game interview. He basically sounded like a guy who was leaving.
Of course he is.
He sounded like a guy who's upset at the end of a season. That's what he sounded
why
like.
Why was he upset? He knew he wasn't going to win the series anyway.
802-655-6672. How are you feeling about the Celtics today? How much blame do you put on Stevens? How much do you hate Kyrie? Is anyone still defending Kyrie? 802-655-6672.
Don't you hear from me, I'm moving on to the next thing and go, that doesn't sound like a guy who's real sure he's going to be in the same spot in 3 months.
It sounds like an existential thought that Kyrie always gives. Kyrie always talks in riddles. He's always hard to figure out. This is not new. He's been doing this since day one of his first press conference when he got here. I'm on to the next thing simply means I am more than a basketball player. Now basketball season is over. Now I will find something else to do in the offseason. That is what that means. I don't read anything negative into that about where he's going. The thing that stands out to me, though, along the lines of what you're talking about, is less about the game yesterday. It's less about a takeaway of Giannis. It's less about a takeaway of Milwaukee's depth. It's less about how the Celtics played or didn't play on the court. It's how freely and openly they spoke after the game in all facets, in all capacities, with Kyrie, Brad Stevens saying I did a bad job, Marcus Morris talking about the failure to meet expectations, Al Horford about his future, and Terry Rozier just, you know what? I applaud Terry Rozier for being open and being honest and laying it all out there. He said that the team put Stevens in a bad spot. There were a lot of egos there. He said that he thought he sacrificed more than anybody and essentially that he didn't want to. That is how. Look, you don't have to like what Rozier said, but I applaud him for the openness because we knew these things were going on. He actually confirmed it.
Travis and Milton said, yes, Rich Stevens is the problem. And what did Milwaukee do in the offseason? Change their coach. Roger says, this is why Kyrie is a second player, not a leader. Arnie's never been more correct.
Wow.
Roger said, you go the way of your leader. Kyrie tried to be the leader, failed, dragged the team down with him. And painfully, I have to agree with Arnie on Stevens.
Go ahead.
Here's what I say about this, though. be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for when you talk about coaching changes.
Or Kyrie.
This is not John Farrell being a grumpy, moody guy that the Red Sox can just replace and then go find the next shiny toy in Alex Cora. We crushed the Yankees for getting rid of Joe Girardi. He had won a championship. He'd been there for 10 years. He had played for the Yankees. It was a young team who needed discipline. They fired him. We crushed him for that. And the Yankees ended up in the exact same place last year with Aaron Boone, losing in the playoffs. And oh, by the way, the Yankee team with Girardi got to the ALCS. Yep. Boone didn't get that far.
It's not like the team went back-to-back AL East and then you fired him. Oh, wait a minute. The Red Sox did that. How did that work out for them?
You can't do that with
anybody. How did that work out
for the Yankees, like I just told you?
Right here in Boston, they won a World Series after firing, after winning back-to-back AL East titles.
How did it work out for the Yankees? The Yankees went to the ALCS with Girardi, lost to Houston in Game 7, and then losing the first round last year to the Red Sox.
Red Sox fans are happy the way it worked out now. They won a World Series.
Yeah, for them, but it doesn't always go that way.
No, of course, it doesn't always go that way.
Okay,
but I mean, it worked out pretty good for the Red Sox. How do you say it's not going to work out for the Celtics? You never. Tyronn Lue was a first-time coach. He won a championship.
Yeah, you know David that Blatt, wasn't
Tyronn. David Blatt went and went to the championship. Yeah, he got to that
crap. Do you really feel like, okay, so Kyrie stays, so I guess you lose Rozier, and that's about all you lose going into next year, and you get rid of Brad Stevens. Do you really think that's going to make this team win 10 more games and move on to a championship? I don't see that.
No, I don't think the team is better with Kyrie.
Do you think they're better without Stevens?
Do I think they're better without Stevens?
Yes, that's what
I think maybe they just need a different guy at the head. That's all. Maybe a different offensive philosophy.
Better without Stevens.
Maybe get players that fit under his system. Oh. Or if you're going to keep the same players you got, get a different coach. It's one or the other.
Remember the fact the Giants fired Tom Coughlin because they needed a different voice. And Ben McAdoo inherited Tom Coughlin's players, went to the playoffs, and then ended up getting fired the next season because he couldn't coach. Be careful what you wish for. Stevens, after the game, as you said, he took the blame for this, although I don't think he needed to.
I'll be the first to say that I did a bad job. At the end of the day, like, as a coach, if your team doesn't find its best fit together, that's on you. I'll do a lot of deep dives into how I can be better.
Truth be told, it's no time to be disappointed. I think that...
Okay, that's a mix of everything. That was Kyrie also.
No time to be disappointed. Really? How ridiculous is that?
No, why would you be disappointed?
You just blew your season. You were absolutely horrendous for four games that mattered hugely.
How could he
take a little bit of time and say, yeah, we sucked?
He'll be disappointed. He got to go to Cancun in 24 hours. What are you talking? I'm going to be disappointed.
But see, that's the attitude that drives Boston fans crazy. I didn't even know that was Kyrie, and I know you didn't even mean to play that. But geez, that was the quote
I
heard.
He's got vacation and starting now. He doesn't have time to be disappointed. Please,
look, Antonio Daniels, that we had on yesterday. He said, "Look, these guys care. Trust me, Kyrie cares. Kyrie asked for a trade from Cleveland. He asked for a trade away from LeBron. He wanted the spotlight. He wanted to be the guy. He wanted to step up. He wanted to justify it. You know that he cares about this. Come on. If you don't think he cares, then I got a bridge to sell you over Lake Champlain.
It's not that I don't think he cares. I think it's the attitude that he gives off that he doesn't care. And that's what bothers me. It's not that I don't think he cares. It's the way he gives off the impression that he doesn't care.
I agree.
How it bothers me.
I agree. That's what I just heard in that last statement.
And that's not only me. I bet you that's a lot of Celtic fans that's why they're upset with him.
So let me ask you this then, because look, I agree that optically it's not the best thing to say. However, as Antonio Daniels told us yesterday, does Kyrie need to care what we think? He cares enough on his own. And you know what? If the guy sat and stewed in his own guilt for 6 months, we'd be saying, man, he hasn't forgotten last year yet. Man, he's got to get over that. How's he going to get over the hump if he can't get over the past?
But he's forgetting about it, moving on 2 minutes after the end of the season. I mean, just take a little bit of time and go, wow, I really sucked the last four games and I didn't do my job.
Fans want honesty. And they want to be liable and be a little humble, too. Yep. You know what I mean? You know, don't be the horse's ass every time when you're winning, when you're losing. It can't be like that every time. Come out and say, you know what? I was bad. You know, I need some time. I got to think it over. Just, you know, even if you came up with the cliches. By the way, Vegas has put out the odds. Kyrie's next team.
Yesterday was the Nets. Where's it today?
Well, the leader in the clubhouse, according to Vegas, the New York Knicks, they're the favorite at 2-1. The Nets, 3-1. The Celtics, 13-4, which means what? A little bit over 3-1. The Lakers are 5-1. Clippers 8-1. Mavericks 10-1. and Raptors 12-1. On a side note, Al Horford being a Celtic game one next season, no is the favorite.
Good.
Good.
You're going to regret that too.
Well, what are they going to get back for him?
I mean, that's what are you talking about? Get back for?
I understand you're not going to get anything back for him.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, I understand that, but you're getting rid of a max contract. If Irving goes, you give it. See, I can't believe we're having this conversation that we're talking about rebuild, or I am about rebuilding this team. We have sat here for 6 years, and all we're hearing is, and you're seeing the results on the court, winning more games every single year. Here it comes, 2019, baby. This is the year, and poof. And now everybody like me is being reactionary and just saying, all right, just get rid of all of them. Let's start over.
Ryan Russillo came out this week and said that you can be a great coach and have a bad year. I don't even think Brad Stevens had a bad year in terms of X's and O's or on the court. The thing that Brad Stevens needs to examine in the offseason when he talks about making a deep dive is figuring out a way to manage the egos. Because it's ironic that the only question we had about this Celtics team coming into the year, the only question was, do they have too many good players? People laughed at us when we said, how the hell could you have too many really good players?
How do you distribute the minutes?
How do you distribute the minutes? How do you distribute the shots, and how do you handle the ego? And Antonio Daniels, former NBA player, 13 years in the league, he told us that yesterday too.
When you're around this league for so long and you play with so many different players, you understand there is a dynamic that comes along with the NBA that can't be measured on paper, and that is an ego. What you saw with this Boston Celtics team is Tatum, Brown, Rozier, and some of these other guys were riding first class, and they helped get this team all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie Irving and without Gordon Hayward. Now when the year starts and you understand these two guys who are all-stars now have to be implemented back into Brad Stevens' system, and all these guys that were riding first class last year are now asked to go back to coach.
So that was the thing that undid these Celtics from the start. Stevens could have handled the egos better, and that's the thing I think he's going to stew over all offseason. But the X's and O's stuff, you're not finding better than Brad Stevens.
I'll tell you what I would stew all over. Did we talk about this early, like 8 months ago, or maybe not even that long, that there was a rumor that the Celtics wanted to trade, or I don't know who wanted to make the trade, but that the Celtics or the Knicks were interested in Tatum? And I'm thinking to myself, could you imagine, because Danny Ainge is not afraid to pull the trigger, could, out of all the times to have the number one pick or have the top three pick, where's that top pick now? Could you imagine if he traded Tatum and had the number one pick right now of the New York Knicks and he'd have Zion? Ooh, boy, what a future. Then how many people be running to the Celtics now if they had Zion as the number one pick from the New York Knicks? They tossed Tatum into the sideline in a heartbeat, get rid of that guy.
I truly wonder if Zion matters to the current players as much as he matters to teams' marketing departments.
Probably not. Yeah. Probably not.
So, especially the Knicks.
Like, who's I don't know what established NBA star is running to Zion right now. Look, he's good.
Kevin Durant, wanting to play in New York, I think part of it does have to do with the appeal of maybe if they get Zion.
I think it has little to do with Zion. Zion is a good player. Zion is a freak athlete. Zion will grow. I have no doubt about that. But to come in here and think that Zion's going to reshape the league.
A lot of people do think that. LeBron did. A lot of people think he is going to be the next guy to reshape it. I do have questions about him too, but can you imagine if the Celtics had him instead of the Knicks?
With Zion being 6'8 or 6'7.
Seven.
He's a small forward. His game is not built that way.
He's got to shoot.
He's more of a marketing ploy right now.
Oh.
I think he's more important right to his marketing department right now than he is to other established stars.
If he doesn't play well right off the bat, there'll be a lot of pressure on him.
It depends on where he goes, too. If he goes to New York, he's going to be the instance number one priority there and the superstar that they've been looking for. And unless, of course, Kyrie and KD end up there.
I haven't seen Zion play in the NBA. I'd rather have Zion over Tatum after what I saw Tatum do right, Rich. You kept saying, I think he went sideways. I don't know.
I mean, last night was the whole season. 3-for-10, 14-6. Welcome to the whole season. I just didn't see him getting better this year.
By the way, we do want to say thank you to the three Celtic listeners that we still have, because that's all the texts we got from the Town Fair Tire text line. There's only three Celtic fans left now.
Yeah, it's funny.
But funny, 8 months ago, We had 52 million. Yeah. Now there's only three.
And it's funny, every time we talk about hockey, the text line blows up, which is a coincidence, yeah. Because...
That's because hockey talk's coming up next. Game one. Look, I got so much on the Celtics I got to say, and so much I got to vet through with all you guys, but we will get to your hockey fix as well. Game one is tonight. What are we looking for out of Bruins Hurricanes?
All right, that's next. You're in the huddle. What do we point through the game?
Join the...
Doing local 44 News.
Yes, Arnie, it's baseball season. You'll just have to deal with it. It's The Huddle with Arnie, Rich, and Brady on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. By the way, first-time texter, I think the biggest problem for the Celtics is they have a lot of good players and talent, but they don't have a good team. No interior scoring, no guys that can get into the paint with ease or even get to the foul line. Stevens is a great coach, but you can only do so much with inconsistent three-point shooting, which is true. It's not like they went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, so you can only go so far on that. Mistake of the day, I said there was only three Celtic fans. We now have four. So tell everybody about the mistake of the day, Brady.
802-655-6672.
Nice lead-in.
You can get in. Thanks to him. You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms on Heinenberg Drive in Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel and first responder uniforms. They even offer lettering for your truck and trailer with competitive pricing and super fast turnaround.
He's just giddy because he's wifeless for a couple of days.
No, he's giddy because he hates Boston and he's happy to see Boston lose. However, he shouldn't be giddy considering he said the Celtics would sweep this series after game one. I've never seen a guy turn a wrong prediction so far on its head to make himself look.
I saw the light after game two. I'm like, no, this is not the way I thought it was going to go in game two. Yeah,
I took Milwaukee to win the series. So did you, Brady, as I recall, didn't you?
What did I experience?
Didn't you take Milwaukee to win the series? Because I did.
I did in six. So
and
I took
the Bruins to win in five, and they won in six. So we're doing all right.
I'm telling you, I'm taking the Bruins to win the series in five.
Yeah, that's exactly my pick.
I think the Bruins are going to... I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. I don't think they're going to win every game 6-1.
Right.
But I think they're going to have a... easier time than they had in either of the previous two rounds as they start with Carolina.
Columbus surprised me. Remember I said not only are they going to win, but they'll win in five, and they'll win because Columbus is going to have that just happy to be here thing. They didn't. They were good. That was an impressive team.
Dean in South Burlington, but I think really Rich wrote this, and he just put a fake name. Arnie, Boston sports have experienced since last October two championships, an Eastern Conference final berth, and the second round exit. It's not the Celtics fans that are embarrassed about their performance. We now have a higher level of standards that we hold our teams. Literally in mere hours, we have game one of the Bruins Eastern Conference Finals. Who cares about the Celtics? Did you text that in, Rich?
No, that's the way I go.
Is that you?
Well, if there's one team in Boston that I can move on from, it's the Celtics. I wasn't really that upset. I was just like, okay, good. That's the end of that.
There was a time here where the Celtics were number one in this town.
Oh, absolutely. Growing up in Boston, are you kidding? Trying to get Celtics tickets back in the 60s and 70s? You couldn't do it.
I so wish that the Celtics, if we could only have one, I so wish it was the Celtics playing.
Yeah, you said that yesterday. That intrigued me. I mean, I was interested in them because I've loved the sort of ascension they've had every year, and it's kind of a nice story, but they went right off the cliff this year.
I just like basketball far more than I like hockey. So if you're saying, hey, you can only have one thing to talk about for the next 2 weeks, I would choose basketball 100 times out of 100, and then 101 times if I could.
So you weren't all in on that Avs-Sharks battle? Yeah, no.
I did not watch one second of it. Something about a bad offsides call that screwed Colorado.
I love how Celtic fans are jumping off that bandwagon like rats off a sinking ship, for crying out loud.
Right, but that's what that guy brings up on the text line, is the fact that we hold the bar so high that it's like, okay, one of the teams didn't play well and they bowed out and they didn't win the championship. And so now it's to the point where if the team doesn't win the championship, we just blast them. And it won't last long. Let's enjoy the ride.
By the way, Matt Milton says, if you think the Carolina will just roll over because they're facing the Bruins, you might be sorely mistaken. Remember, they beat the defending champs and they swept a very good Islander team. Now, they played well up to now. They've got goaltending injuries.
They have a platoon at goal.
Yeah, because the first one got hurt, didn't get to play the remainder of the series. What was it?
Razek and McElhaney.
Came in after that and finished up the series.
It's like, yeah, I hear those two names. This team is just full of fourth-line guys. Yeah. Sebastian Aho, get used to that name. He's a superstar in waiting. But it's mostly just young guys that have had very little success up until now.
Amir says, absolutely keep Stevens. let Kyrie go. So a little basketball in there. But everybody's, of course, now we're waiting for Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 tonight. That's what our focus is on, Brady, because now the Celtics are eliminated.
Yeah, we'll have it for you 7:30 right here on 101.3 The Game. 101.3 The Game tonight for that game, the Game 1 between the Bruins and the Hurricanes. I think the Bruins are going to win this series in 5. And it's not because Carolina's bad. It's not because they think they're going to roll over. It's not because they don't think that they don't belong. It's because just what they do well, I think Boston is able to easily counteract. The Hurricanes don't score well. Early in the year, they played great defense, and they could not get anything. They had like historically low shooting percentages on shots on goal. They could not buy a goal. And they played good defense. They still play good defense, and now they're finally getting some of those shots to go in. But Tuukka's played at such a high level, I believe that he'll be able to stop what little scoring chances Carolina is able to actually manufacture. And Carolina's special teams are horrendous. They're 1 of 10 in the playoffs on the power play. They're allowing a goal on 25% of their penalty kill opportunities. Boston is far more disciplined than that. They will take advantage of you when they're on the power play, and they're going to be better on the penalty kill. I just don't see where Carolina scores enough to win this series.
It may take more, though. It may take more than 5 games. You know, when you say, oh, they beat the defending champs and they beat the Islanders, if you look at the points, they were only 3 or 4 points from winning the division. They had 99, almost 100 points. Pittsburgh had 100. Islanders had 103 and Washington 104. They were a very good team. They were like 17, 18 games above 500. Yeah. So in the regular season, they were a good team. They were just the upper echelon teams, Rich, that were better by, like I said, 4 or 5 points. That's
but there's certain teams like Tampa and, to a point, Boston, who just were pretty consistently good all season long, all through the winter. And then you get the Islanders, who were good, but had moments and stretches where they were terrible. You get Columbus, who was barely making it in the back door in the last game of the season just to get in the playoffs. Carolina was the same thing, just barely beat out the Canadiens. So you look at these teams and you go, well, they got hot at the right time. They have like 8 or 9 guys who have 3 goals or more in the playoffs. They're winning a lot of close games. They're getting great defense. And that's one place I think the Canes have the upper hand, especially in Game 1 when McAvoy's gone and they're going to be counting on 25 minutes from Chara and guys like Brandon Carlo, who's become sort of a star in this last series. But I think overall, I agree with you, Brady. That's what I was going to say. 5 games. I think it'll be over quick.
Carolina is the best in the league at playing 5-on-5, so they can't afford to take penalties. They can't afford to be playing shorthanded because they're not good on the penalty kill, as I just said, and Boston's good on the power play. And they started to find their stroke with their top line and their top power play units as we move forward deeper into that Columbus series. I don't think these games are 6-1, but I could see them being 2-0. I could see them being 2-1. I could see them being 3-1.
Grinders.
I just don't see where Carolina scores. I don't think they're going to be overly entertaining games because I don't think there's going to be a lot of offense on either side given how good Carolina's 5-on-5 defense is. But I just think Boston's going to be able to generate more chances and be able to take more advantage of special teams play than Carolina is. I see a lot of low-scoring, grinded-out, kind of boring games, but ultimately I think Boston's going to have total control of the series.
It's funny because every time Carolina makes the playoffs, they go far, including a Stanley Cup victory. They also got to the finals a long time ago against the Detroit Red Wings and lost it ultimately. I think it was a sweep, in fact. But if they catch fire at the right time and they get that offense beyond Aho going a little bit, they might be tough. But I don't think this is... I mean, Mrazek and McElhinney versus Tuukka Rask.
Really?
Their goalies have played. They lost the first 2 games against Washington. I don't know if you remember that. So they were
odds, 6 years ago
The odds at that point of them even winning that round were like going to be like 50-1.
Yeah.
I mean, and then they turned it on. They're a great defensive team, but their goalies have been standing on the head. It's always tough when you have 2 goalies, are standing on your head. I got to think one's going to come back down to earth. I just don't know which one it's going to be. And like you said, the first one was hurt. McElhinney is the one that came in and finished it up. Yeah. And he's been playing damn good also, so I don't know which one.
And the NHL, more than any other league, seems like a team, when it gets hot, especially in the playoffs, look out. I mean, Columbus, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, wipes out one of the best teams in history. Record-wise, Tampa Bay in 4 straights. Like, where did that come from? And then Boston beats Columbus relatively easily. And then Carolina gets 2-0, down 2-0. Carolina against the defending Stanley Cup champions and Ovechkin and all of that, and then just wipes them off the map. So they come in hot, but at the same time, I feel like, the slipper isn't going to fit
Soon. This is case in point of why this hockey playoff system is so flawed. because, yes, you had a trade-off where you saw a great first-round series between Toronto and Boston. You saw some good ones over in the Western Conference, too.
Yeah, I'll say.
But now as we've gone through into this series, there's very little intrigue, rather, and deeper into the playoffs. I mean, the Stanley Cup Final is going to be uninteresting. If the Bruins are in it, we'll talk about it, of course. But if the Bruins aren't in it, there will be no interest for any of our listeners, I don't think.
Oh, geez.
The big Carolina-St. Louis showdown.
Yeah. Nationally, hockey's over.
Well, hockey's done now. If the Bruins are in it, there'll be some interest as an original six team.
Not with what's going on with Kevin Durant. The Lakers didn't get Tyronn Lue. They've got to get a coach. Free agency in basketball. No. Hockey's done.
I know.
You're ridiculous for saying that.
But at the same time, I am fighting a losing battle, but I'm not alone. At least not in this region.
I mean, look, basketball, the first round was awful. The first round was horrendous. I mean, Milwaukee just blitzing Detroit by 20 every game. Outside of Denver and San Antonio, there was no intriguing first-round series in the NBA. But as we've gone on deeper into the playoffs, you're starting to see some things that are more interesting. Portland is a good series with Denver. Yeah. That's a good series. Now, Milwaukee and Boston should have been a good series. Ended up not being one, but it should have been. It had the makings of a good one. Houston and Golden State. Now, the Western Conference Final will be interesting. The finals will be interesting. There is not a lot. Like, I'd rather have awful first-round series and table it for 2 weeks and then get what we're getting in the NBA, whereas in hockey, we got a good first 2 weeks, and the last four are going to be essentially uninteresting.
And by the way, don't lose the fact that if the Celtics did what they were supposed to do, they'd win a championship this year now that Kevin Durant's hurt. Now's their chance to take down the... Because he's not coming back for the playoffs. I promise you that.
They said he could be back for the finals.
I promise he's not.
341.
Yeah.
I promise you Kevin Durant isn't coming back. Is that what you just said?
I promise you he won't come back.
All right.
We'll see. We'll see how much he's got. But the way he was limping, I'm telling you, he's not coming back from that injury, and no way he's going to be effective.
They said he could be back for the Western Conference Finals, not even the NBA Finals.
Here was your chance to win a championship. This was it.
Yeah,
and
so
boom,
he's done.
Right out the window.
That was the strangest injury. He just looks behind him and as if he tripped over something.
So
he's done. We'll write that
down. No, the Celtics are done.
No, I'm saying Durant is done.
He is done.
Guaranteed.
I'm promising you that.
Okay. Arnie, a Spaniard.
I slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
You were calling him Kevin Garnett for the entire pre-show meeting.
Yes, I was. So what? You knew what I was talking about.
That's a true story, folks.
Yes, I said Kevin Garnett. Big deal.
What does KG have to do with any of this?
Oh, he's hurt too. 802-655-6672. They said what's coming up next season. You're in the huddle. What do I point under?
Wait, what did he say? Did I hear that right? Are you sure? Let's go to the tape. It's time for They Said What? On the Huddle, 101.3, The Game.
Yeah. All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle, 101.3, The Game.
Name the band.
Journey. Rush.
Yes. Not bad.
It was one of the two. I was going to say Yes next. That was going to be the third one.
If Rich is asking, it's always Rush.
Yeah. I should have known that.
Or it's Genesis before they got Phil Collins because he ruined them.
Or Millennium.
Uranium. Please welcome to the stage, Uranium.
Uranium.
That sounds like a metal band, though. There's got to be a metal band called Uranium.
I'm sure there is somewhere.
All right. Let's get to They Said What, Brady.
They said what?
A lot of people on this network talking about the Boston Celtics and their collapse in this whole season today. Let's start with Colin Cowherd. He says he was wrong about Kyrie Irving, and here's why. Kyrie doesn't belong in Boston next year.
Kyrie Irving thing never worked. 2 years, didn't work. He doesn't fit with the coach. He didn't really fit with the roster. And here's another thing. He doesn't really fit with the city. I always thought that mattered. Michael Jordan felt Chicago, city of big shoulders. Michael was big. There's no better fit in the history of basketball than Magic in L.A. Glamour player, glamour city. Kyrie doesn't even feel like Boston. Larry Bird did. Tough, gritty clutch to lunch pail city. By the way, Kevin Garnett to me felt like Boston. Trash talker, frugal, tough, don't get in his face, intimidating. Paul Pierce, overachiever, gritty, played defense. Julian Edelman embodies. Tom Brady has a supermodel wife. He's a grinder watching tape.
says Kyrie does not feel like Boston, therefore doesn't fit.
Tom Brady is about as non-Boston as any athlete I
could
imagine.
I agree with Arnie Jr. right there. I agree with him. I think I said the same thing. Arnie Jr. I said the same thing, pretty much.
Tom Brady embodies Boston?
That's not his point, my friend.
All right, no, I understand. Guys like KG, absolutely.
It was all about Kyrie, yep. And he's right. Kyrie doesn't fit. He never fit in. For a superstar, most superstars are embraced by their team. He wasn't, or embraced by their city. He was not embraced by Boston. At least I don't think so.
Oh, I disagree.
You think he was embraced?
Yeah, I think Boston likes star power. I think Boston likes great players, and Kyrie Irving is a great player. Just go look at the jersey sales in the NBA of which Kyrie's in the top 10. I don't have the number in front of me.
Yeah, but that's national.
I understand that. Go look at any Celtics game that they show you on TV.
Tons of 11s.
Who's wearing number 11?
Well, who else are you going to wear? Gordo? I mean, come on now. Who else are you going to wear?
You could have a retro Larry Bird.
And they want to love Gordon Hayward because he's that comeback story. Look, you know, it's Boston and Pittsburgh. It's those type of cities where they're looking for a story.
Look, I do believe that it's nice when an athlete, like Big Ben, feels like Pittsburgh, right? Like Baker Mayfield, Collins said the other day, he feels like Cleveland.
Yes.
Plays with a chip on his shoulder. But it can go the other way, too, where it doesn't work out. Odell Beckham Jr. feels like New York, doesn't he? He feels like big time, lights on me, star power, show me the cameras, make it about me, city of big lights. And people don't want him in New York anymore. So Odell Beckham.
No, just the Giants didn't want him.
Odell Beckham feels like New York, and it didn't work there. So it can go the other way, too. So I think even though Kyrie doesn't feel like Boston because he doesn't have the gritty mindset, if they won, trust me, he'd be plenty embraced.
Tell me this. I bet you more New Yorkers liked Odell Beckham Jr. than people in Boston like Kyrie.
Yes, because Odell was there for 4 years. That's the easy answer. Why?
Well, no, but that 2 years is the why. In 2 years, you think Kyrie would be just as like? No, Odell Beckham had that. Even though he was a little bit off the wall, and we would say trade him, don't trade him. He's a cancer. He's not a cancer in the locker room. That's beside the point. He had that likability factor for the fans. Kyrie doesn't give you that. And if your number one guy can at least give you the likability factor. Yeah. Remember, I'll give you Marshawn. Remember when he did the little problem with the reporter? They talked to him. They're like, no, you're more than just a player. Show some respect. You know, when these guys, even Steve Kerr said, you know, show some respect. You can't be doing that. You're more than just a player. You're representing the city.
Yeah, and the thing, too, in Boston is you can't. Kyrie, to me, just really hurt himself. Because I've been saying they can't do without Kyrie. He's the star. He's the glue to the team and blah, blah, blah. But when he starts looking at the camera and say what you want about who cares. But that kind of a line will destroy you in a place like Boston.
But think about this, though. The Red Sox just won the World Series. Chris Sale, to me, I've always said, he feels like Boston. Tough SOB, kind of a mean cuss, has a nasty streak to him. He does feel like Boston. I get that. But does Mookie Betts feel like Boston? Does Alex Cora?
No, that's why he may not be here.
Does Alex Cora feel like Boston?
But he played, though.
Does David Price feel like Boston? You know what? They all won, so they're all part of Boston now. Does Pedro Martinez feel like Boston? No, these guys won. They've been embraced.
I don't think, you know, that's why I think Mookie Betts may end up leaving. No, he doesn't feel like Boston. That may be the case why he does leave out there. I'm going to actually agree with you on that.
I've never been able to nail down what Mookie Betts is. He seems like an incredibly respectful guy.
Yes,
classy guy who cares about the human race.
Dustin Pedroia feels like Boston.
Yes, I'll say yes.
He's
I totally agree with you on that.
Dustin Pedroia is the guy who dives into first base and flies all over the place, and he's on his clothes are covered in dirt by the end of every single game. That's the dirt dog mentality that works in Boston. Mookie's just a really good player, but you don't hear a lot from him.
And managers are different because there's only, 30, 32 jobs, depending on the sport. You got to take it no matter where you're going. You know what I mean?
Look, if the player is a transcendent talent, and if the player helps you win, he's going to be embraced, okay? That is why Kyrie has been embraced, because he's a transcendent talent. People are falling out of favor with him or falling out of favor because they're not winning. They'd embrace all the eccentricities if they were winning. Yep. David Price still has some eccentricities.
He's still not liked.
Now he is.
Even with the World Series, he's still not liked.
Trust me, he's liked a whole hell of a lot more now that they've won a World Series.
No, if you had to do an approval rating on him, it'd be less than 50%.
100%
doubt that. No, I totally
don't. I'd say it's more than 50%.
Town Fair Tire, text line. Do you like David Price? Forget about, you won a World Series, but do you have the likability factor for David Price 50% less? I'm telling you, no.
I guarantee you it went up a few months back, last fall.
Here's the thing, too. Eli Manning doesn't feel like New York, and Giant fans love him. Why? Two Super Bowls. That's it. You win, you will be embraced. I do like when athletes match up to the personality of their city. That does make it cool. When Bill Laimbeer, yeah, he fits in Detroit. He feels like Detroit. Yep. Dennis Rodman worked in Detroit. Those kind of things work.
Right.
I like that, but there's a lot of cases where guys are loved that don't fit like that city either.
Yeah, and it was always that way. Like the Steelers have always been beloved in Pittsburgh because of the fact that they've always been sort of a lunch pail team. I mean, I'm going back to all those Super Bowl wins. You get guys with, you get Jack Ham, you got Jack Lambert with no teeth and, you know, flying all over the place and getting in trouble. And Oakland was the same way. Remember how those dirty guys with the Raiders, that sort of became the appeal of the Raiders that still sticks around to this day.
Matt in Burlington, play the tape from yesterday of Arnie saying the Celtics are done music to my ears because he and I were both dead on about Gordo and Kyrie. Todd said initially Boston, myself included, embraced Kyrie because they thought he was coming. It was going to improve the team. Now it clearly hasn't worked, and he wants out. The Celtics should oblige his wishes. That's from Todd out there. And Rob says Big Ben definitely feels like Pittsburgh. Yep. Big, tough, and a little dirty. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Hour one in the books. Brady will tell you what's trending. Then we'll get you ready for the top four and four. All that's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
The text line is amazing. Now you can yell at us all show long without having to actually speak to us. Text in now at 802-655-6672. It's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Beautiful Thursday out there. Beautiful out there. We're just taking the day off.
Is it still nice out? I haven't been out. And obviously Brady hasn't been out. Yep. He'll tell us in a minute.
Yeah, Brady hasn't seen outside.
I'm just guessing that it's going to be beautiful. Real quick, did you listen to Clay this morning?
No. Well, not in full.
Okay. Well, his big topic, I don't know if you guys...
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
Why don't you fill the audience in?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Doug Glanville was, you help me out, he was MLB Network. I'm not sure what network he works for.
He works for The Athletic now.
Okay, he works for The Athletic, but he was doing a TV spot.
Yes.
And on TV, it was at the Cub game.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first row of the game, you know, obviously he's on the field. And you know, sometimes you could see the people behind the reporter. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy in a Cub pullover, yep. Sweatshirt. I believe he had the hoodie up. I can't be 100% sure. That's really not the big thing. When the camera zoomed in on Glanville, you got a better picture of the guy. And, of course, you can't see me now, but I'll do it for Rich. He did this. This sign.
Like A-OK.
See, that to me means A-OK. Is that in this day and age something completely different?
They said it meant white supremacy, and they've now banned that fan from ever coming back to the ballpark.
The A-OK finger sign?
Some people say it has that connotation. I took it as in basketball, like when Andre Iguodala hit the three, they do this.
Right.
Means it's a three-pointer. If we're talking non-sports, I always took it to mean gang-related, like the Crips or the Bloods. I think I'm wrong on that, but I always thought when you made the hands like this, gang-related. Clay says it's a children's game, and a lot of people agreed with him. When you look at that, you're supposed to say, they punch you in the shoulder, saying you're not supposed to look at that, and if you put your finger through it, then you get to punch them in the shoulder. And there was policemen calling in about that. So I think it's a terrible thing that they suspended this guy. They didn't release his name because, you know, all hell's going to break loose. If it was because of white supremacy, they banned him for life. I don't think he's going to be allowed to go to any Major League Baseball game. If his name gets out in the media, it will be ruined. He may have to come forward and explain what that meant. And Clay's point was, this is a children's game. We need to find out what he meant.
Right.
It wasn't white supremacy. Was it a children's game? Was it, I'm punching you in the shoulder? Was it, you made a three-point shot? Was it, hey, look at me on TV? I don't know what it was out there. So that was the big contract. I'm like, wow, that was a big deal out there. You know?
I love Clay's take on Twitter where he says, the Cubs can be on the moral high ground with this, but as on the same day that they bring back Addison Russell from a domestic violence suspension.
Yes, good point. And that was his thing. He goes, they'll bring back somebody who will, do I even say allegedly, you know, beat his wife, but you know, you're going to go ahead and suspend the guy like this for the rest of his life. So it was quite the slippery. So I was listening to a lot of his show. And I'm like, wow. And let me tell you something. He got people calling and texting and emailing, and it was getting very heated. Oh boy, was it getting heated.
Social media once again strikes big.
It was absolutely crazy. All right, Brady, let's get to the top 4 at 4. What's starting off?
We've got 3 hours of show to cover every day. But here's the top stories. All you need to know in one spot. It's your top 4 at 4 on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game. Number 4.
The Patriots are bringing back former tight end Benjamin Watson, 38 years old. He's the former first-round pick of the Pats. He said he was going to retire, but... Well, the Pats have an opening at tight end now with Rob Gronkowski announcing his own retirement. So Benjamin Watson, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Pats now have a 2 tight end set again. They brought in a couple guys this offseason, and it helped clears up the controversy in quotes about why they didn't take a tight end of the draft. Yeah. So Benjamin Watson back in Foxborough. There,
just yesterday, I sent you guys an article just yesterday or the day before that said the Patriots are going to have open tryouts for the tight end position. And today they did this. I guess it goes to show you that Gronk isn't coming back, or if Gronk had any thoughts of coming back, I guess he shouldn't, because they look like they're going to be set at the tight end position now. Maybe not as much productivity, but probably just as much productivity as the last year, but not as an entire career.
Yeah, I mean, if you put 2 or 3 of the guys, Seferian Jenkins and now Ben Watson together, you might get the same productivity as a Gronk.
Could be,
That involves 2 different players. I mean, I didn't even know he was still in the league. I remember like 3 years ago, he was catching 74 passes for 825 yards for New Orleans. I thought, you're telling me it's the same Ben Watson from 48 years ago?
And Watson played for the Saints again last year. He was with the Saints, then went to Baltimore, then went back to the Saints last year. Had 35 catches last season, 400 yards, caught a couple of touchdowns. Look, a guy who Tom Brady likes, a guy who Tom Brady trusts, a guy who Tom Brady's played with and won with, and a guy who can, as I recall, a fairly decent run blocker and a willing run blocker, and can also make some plays in the red zone and help the Patriots. So, look, ultimately it's a good move, because I'd rather play with a 38-year-old Ben Watson that Tom Brady trusts than some undrafted free agent who Tom Brady's never heard of before. But I don't think it's a major impact move, but I think it's just part of a collection of decent moves for the
Patriots. Sometimes we got to look back and say, look how now they're really addressing the tight end situation, and they're probably doing more for the tight end situation than I know they signed an offensive lineman, but they're really honing in on the tight end. Maybe they should have traded up and taken one of those 2 rookie tight ends and had a tight end now for the next 10 years or 15 years or whatever it's going to be. Maybe they made a mistake with all those draft picks, and I know they wanted the wide receiver, but there were so many wide receivers, and only, 2 got taken, and 1 was with the Patriots. Maybe they should have taken the tight end and worried about a wide receiver secondary.
Well, it's interesting to think about, but also you still didn't know about what were they going to do at quarterback at that point. Were they going to take... Because we didn't know what they were going to do at quarterback, so they would have had to trade up very early on day 1 of the draft to get up into the top 10 to take
top
one of those.
Top 20. The other one went number 20.
Fant went, went 20.
One went to Detroit. I forget the...
Denver.
Denver. So it could have been done with all the ones you had. Maybe you could have pulled it off. I don't know. Just another thought. Maybe you would have been better off and then taking a wide receiver with your second pick. I don't know.
It is nice to see again them continue to try to help Tom Brady out. Now, most people will say, you're helping him out by giving him a 38-year-old retread tight end. But, yes, I'd rather have that than an undrafted free agent at this point.
Ben Watson is a 38-year-old who has been – he's missed 4 games in 10 years. I mean, I was just looking at his numbers. He missed 3 games in 2011, and he missed 1 game in 2013. Other than that, he hasn't started every game, but he's always been there. And his numbers, as you said, I mean, they've gone down a little bit, but they're – he's a serviceable tight end, and I'll bet he's making about $250,000.
The best ability is availability, and he has been that. And the Patriots need it. The Patriots need it. And you know what? I'm excited and kind of about the tantalizing potential of the Patriots offense. You have no idea if it's all going to work out with Josh Gordon and Demaryius Thomas. But if you're a Patriot fan, allow yourself to think about that possibility. Gordon, Thomas, N'Keal Harry, Edelman, Philip Dorsett. That's 5 wide receivers you got to feel pretty good about if it all works out. Now you got Seferian Jenkins, you got Watson, you got 2 experienced tight ends, 10 years of difference in age, but both of which can do things to help your team. You got 4 to 5 running backs that you can count on when you talk about Michelle and Burkhead and White and Damian Harris. That's 4 right there. Brandon Bolden, kind of a throwaway when it comes to offense. We'll go with 4. I mean, if everything works out perfectly for you, and it never does, but if it did, allow yourself to think about, like, man, it could be dynamic.
No, I always said this. You know, my theory, if you have four running backs, you don't have one. But they've got one in Sony Michel. That's who should get the bulk of the carries. He should get, barring injury, of course, he should get 80% of the carries because that's the type of running back he is. It's time for him to really emerge. They're going to have to rely on him a lot more now. I know they got their tight end and one, the rookie wide receiver in Harry, but, you know, that's going to take a while to click. They're going to have to rely on Sony Michel big time more this year.
Top four for the huddle, 101.3 the game.
Number three.
I don't know how many people were still up watching the Red Sox last night after the Celtics defeat and all that, and you're watching playoff hockey in the Western Conference, Rich, but
yes,
it was a fascinating Red Sox game yesterday. They beat the Orioles 2-1, yep. But there was some history made yesterday. Chris Sale, number one, Chris Sale pitched great. Eight innings.
Unhittable.
Eight innings, yeah. 14 strikeouts.
And didn't get the win.
They never hit for him. It's amazing.
Eight innings, 14 strikeouts. He threw an immaculate inning.
Yes, he did.
And for people who don't know what immaculate inning is, he threw in the seventh inning, he threw nine pitches, he threw nine strikes, and he got three strikeouts. That has only been done less than 100 times in baseball history. 95 times in the history of baseball has a pitcher thrown an immaculate inning. That is, it's like just more common than a perfect game. Like a perfect game is the rarest thing you can get. Four home run game, perfect game, immaculate inning. I think that's the order.
What happens if you struck out four in an inning?
Oh my goodness.
That's been done many times.
Not in...
Many times?
Yeah, you could strike out four. That's fairly common.
How is that fairly
common? More common than an immaculate inning.
How is that fairly common?
Because they dropped the third strike.
That's the only way.
He asks me a question and then talks right over my answer.
Go ahead.
That is the only way.
Yeah.
But that seems common. You strike out the side. Strike out the side, and then it's a wild pitch on strike three of the third out. Or the first out or the second out.
I think I remember having it in the playoffs once, and that's ever... That's it.
Yeah, but can we agree that Chris Sale might be back? Might be. I guarantee you everyone's going to say, well, it's the Orioles.
It is. Orioles, the worst team in baseball.
He was immense last night. Immense. He would have beaten anybody if they'd hit.
Striking out four is rare. I can't count.
Damn.
I can't count if it's happened less than 95 times or more than 95 times.
I'm
going to
say less.
Bummer. I hate it when Arnie wins.
I would say
I didn't even know that much.
I would say it's probably less. It happened so far once this year that someone struck out four in an inning.
A pirate, this year?
A Pirates reliever. It happened four times last year.
Really? So it's not as rare as I thought.
It happened four times in 2017.
Oh, so you're not right.
No, no. So I thought it was like,
yes.
I thought it was like super, super rare.
Like
I mean,
perfect
like,
game or
like
something.
Like once, like every 2 years or something like that. Yeah, I didn't know it was that.
But now that strikeouts are more prevalent, it's happening more recently than it did back in the history of baseball.
I thought that was like super rare four strikeouts.
Ed Crane was the first one to ever do it, October 4th, 1888.
Oh, Ed. Easy Ed. He played for the New York Nail Biters, didn't he?
He played for the New York Giants.
Oh.
Did you have him on your free fantasy team?
Yes, you did, Rich.
So, I love the way you add the word free into that just to stick it in a little bit.
Exactly. So, look, Sale made history. He pitched great. And the catch by Jackie Bradley.
Oh, beautiful.
I mean,
this is why we have him on the team betting 140.
In the 11th inning yesterday with the game 1-1, Trey Mancini came to the plate and nearly ended it. But JBJ did this.
And the 0-2, and he swings and hits one deep to left center field. Jackie on the go, back to the warning track by the wall. He jumps. Did he get it?
He got it.
He did. What a play. A sensational play by Jackie. He went over the fence to take a home run away from Mancini to save the game.
And then the Sox went on to win it in the 12th with a homer by Andrew Benintendi. The Mike Trout catch at Camden Yards is the best catch at Camden Yards I've ever seen. That catch is second by Bradley.
You opened up a whole can of worms. Nick, the sales guy, said it happened 88 times. So I think he's talking about the four strikeouts. And then Luke in Burlington had the one-up us saying unassisted triple play, third rarest.
Oh, yeah. You don't see a lot of that. I remember John Valentin did that for the Red Sox.
An unassisted triple play I would think is probably rarer.
Yeah.
Than the four strikeouts.
But anyway, of course, I mean, you play that Jackie Bradley cut, and it begs the question as he goes over again. And I mean...
Enough.
But look, he literally saved that game.
Well, what else is he going to do? He's not going to drive in the winning run. So he's got to make a catch like that.
I mean,
that.
I'm sitting there watching that last night and going, okay, he just saved a game for us. We may have just... Well, we did. We won that game last night. The Sox won that game last night because of that catch. And obviously other reasons. But I mean, so... do you just put up with a complete black hole with his bat and another over every single night to save an occasional game?
It's not going to be every single night, though. When Chavis starts playing in the outfield, he won't do it because they have to keep Michael Chavis on this roster.
Yes.
And Pedroia is going to come back for some period of time until he might get hurt again.
3 games.
Holt's going to be there. Nunez is going to be there. You're going to need to find a way to keep Chavis in. Some days will be at first. Some days will be at third. Some days will be at second. And someday might be in the outfield. And then Martinez is going to play in the outfield at times. Bradley, I don't think, will play every day. I don't think that he's going to play 50% of the games either, but he's not going to be in there every single night because they're going to have Martinez and Chavis they have to work into the outfield.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody's saying, well, you've got to get him out of there. I'm hearing from everybody, how can JBJ be in that lineup? You can't hit 140 6 weeks into a season. Well, there's not a lot of options right now. You have to have him in the lineup.
Well, the video of the catch as well as the Sales Immaculate Inning are online at 1013thegame.com, and you can find them on our Facebook and Twitter pages as well. You need to see the catch by Bradley.
Oh, it was great.
I was saying that one in Ramon Laureano's catch to save the Fire's no-hitter nights ago. I mean, the outfield play has been unbelievable this week.
Like I said, Trout a couple years ago at Camden Yards was the best catch I've ever seen in Baltimore. That catch yesterday, that was right up there.
You know he's got to go, right, Jackie? He's not going to make it through the year. I just want you to know that. Yeah, he'll be gone because one of those three outfielders got to be gone. It's not going to be Benintendi or Betts.
Well, he does need some time in the next 3 or 4 weeks to go on his typical JBJ hitting streak.
I'll tell you this, by All-Star break, he won't be on this team.
Well, he won't if he keeps this up.
Top 4 at 4, 101.3 the game. Arnie's wrong again, so I just ignore
it
now.
Number 2.
Bruins take on the Hurricanes tonight. That's right, hockey fans. I put the Bruins at number 2, not number 1, number 2.
Ridiculous.
Bruins are taking on the Canes tonight. We've got it for you, 7:30 right here on 101.3 the game. It's game 1. It's the Eastern Conference Finals. I've already predicted the Bruins will win this series in 5. I'm saying they're going to win today by a final score of 3-1.
Oh, we're picking games and scores now.
Well, I'm doing both because I'm that confident.
He's that good.
No, but I completely agree with you. I can't believe this path for the Bruins. Thank you, Columbus. Thank you, Carolina, for eliminating Tampa Bay, for eliminating the defending Stanley Cup champions, Washington Capitals. This has been paved right from the very start. If they could just get back to past Toronto, they have this thing made. And so far, so good. I agree with you. I think they win this in 5 games. They might even be 4.
It's not what you've done for me. It's what you've done for me lately. We've always said that. And this Carolina team's won like 8 of their last 9 or something like that.
I don't know how.
They're on a tear. And not only are they doing it, they did it against a good Island team, and they beat the Capitals in 3 of their last 4 games. So we'll pump the brakes a little bit. That being said, I still have to question their goaltending situation there and if they're going to be able to match the Bruins' intensity, the hitting. Bruins have been playing well, except they do turn over the puck. I've got a bad feeling about that. Overall, though, I could see this being like a 4-3 game. I'm going to go with the Bruins.
I just think the one thing, and especially tonight, that would be a concern in this series, and certainly a good thing for Carolina, would be the defensive matchups. I mean, tonight you have no Charlie McAvoy, so there's your number one matchup. So Char is going to have to team with somebody else. He's going to end up playing 25 minutes. Not only is McAvoy out with a suspension for the hit on Anderson, but Kevin Miller, of course, UVM zone, has been out for a long time. That's a key loss. You're going to have guys out there that are going to be playing 24, 25 minutes this first game especially, and probably most of the series.
Carolina's not good on the power play. They're not good on the penalty kill. Once again, in another series here, Boston's special teams advantage will shine through. Carolina also doesn't generate a whole lot of scoring opportunities. First half of the season, they couldn't score at all. It opened up for them more in the second half of the season, but I don't think they're an offensive juggernaut, and Tuukka's played so well in this playoffs, I don't think he's going to allow you a couple of sloppy goals to get Carolina on the board. They're going to have to earn it, and I don't think they have the ability to do that consistently over the course of the series.
You know, I was thinking about the call we had from Columbus that said, congratulations, you won the Stanley Cup, and then I'm thinking about the Toronto fans and the Columbus fans. Who are they pulling for? Because there's really not, except for maybe St. Louis, I don't think there's a team that you're going to get emotionally behind. I think St. Louis is how, if your team got eliminated, I think you're jumping on the St. Louis bandwagon.
Well, I think
that's it.
I'll tell you who the NHL and the networks want. They want the Bruins.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, please.
The last thing they want to see are the Carolina Hurricanes in the Stanley Cup Finals. That'd be a ratings crusher.
You could put that after infomercial.
They'll play it on tape delay.
Oh, jeez.
Top 4-4, 101.3 the game.
number one.
All right, back to the Celtics.
Wow.
Because there's still a whole lot to unpack there. Celtics lose by 25. Their season is over. And now it's all about an offseason of uncertainty. What can Brad Stevens take away from this? What can he learn? Where's Kyrie going? Where's Al Horford going? What will Gordon Hayward do in the offseason to become the player he was for most of the second half of the season, but wasn't at all in this series against Milwaukee? There's questions about draft picks, etc. This is going to be a fun offseason for Boston.
Do I get to pay Horford the max contract? Is that what that?
Yeah, that, I was going to ask you that.
Yes, he is a 1-year player option.
Okay, no, I mean, but after, if I want to pick him up, if I want to give him a new contract, do I get to pay him the max? Is that what it's going to cost?
You don't have to.
Well, is other teams going to give him the max?
Somebody might, but
okay.
If he wants...
Okay, well, goodbye. About that. Goodbye, then. I'm sorry, you're not getting the max from
me. Who's going to give Al Horford a max contract?
I don't know. If somebody wants
Will at this point of his career with his age.
Well, goodbye if he's going to get a lot of money. I'm going to move on from him. Thank you, though. Well, it's been a good couple of years. I appreciate you stopping by. Yeah. And if you guys want to drive together, you and Kyrie, make that happen, I could do that also, because both those guys aren't coming back to my team, I promise you.
Love the idea of having all that money freed up, but if you're going to go into next year without Kyrie and without Al Horford, it's not a great team. I mean,
Anthony Davis?
Is that a 55-win team without those two guys?
And I don't look. You can't trade for Anthony Davis unless you know that he's going to re-up with you long-term, right, or you're going to get a commitment that he's going to do that before, and you sign and trade with him, as is Arnie's favorite thing to do in the world.
We've been saying that a lot. How's that working out for Toronto? How did that work out for Oklahoma City? So, Oklahoma City kept their guy. Toronto's still playing in the playoffs. If Toronto doesn't win a championship, do you think Toronto fans would say it was worth it to get Kawhi Leonard for a year? I'm just wondering.
Toronto would.
But Boston wouldn't. I think I would agree with you on that. Toronto probably said it was worth it.
But is DeMar DeRozan signed for long-term?
Yes. With San Antonio.
So that's a loss.
So if you're Boston, you're going to hope that Horford turns down his player option. Now, it's a player option. It's his choice.
Right,
it's not theirs.
Well,
it's his choice.
Right,
if he wants to go,
I think he's going to be gone. But yeah.
So he's going to decline $30 million.
He gets $30 million next year?
He's a max contract. So there's no way he's leaving. I mean, who else is going to give him that kind of money?
The Celtics need to consult me before they be giving out this money. I got to tell you. They should have listened to me.
So if Horford's gone. If Horford's gone and Kyrie's gone, and then the trade for Davis, you're going to have to give up one of Tatum or Brown, probably Tatum.
Goodbye to Tatum.
So you're gonna lose Tatum, you're going to lose Horford, and you're going to lose Kyrie, and you're going to get 1 year of Davis with no guarantee he resigns.
Well, hopefully I get to keep him longer. That's going to be a big part of it. If I get to keep him longer, I'll start the rebuilding with Davis, and they'll see what I can get to fill in those other contracts. I'm not any better than I was 3 years ago. I made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. This year, I'm an embarrassment. I don't think I'm any better than Philadelphia might be next year, and I don't think I'm going to be any better than Milwaukee. So I've got to make some moves. I can't stay stagnant. You stay stagnant, you're not going to even be in the top 4 or 5 when it comes to the playoffs.
Well, you say what you want about everybody wanting Kyrie, and that's, of course, the trending thing right now. Get Kyrie out of town. He's a bum. He's terrible in the clubhouse. Well, yeah, he goes, and you got to replace 23-8 every single night.
Alex Amunkin says, can they do a sign and trade in the NBA ever? I think, is that being sarcastic?
I hope so.
I mean, because they do that a lot. Rams fan Ralph Rich, based on your subpar performance and lack of loyalty to all, Irving should go.
Wait a minute. What?
I don't know.
Based on subpar performance and lack of loyalty to all, Irving should go. Okay, he's talking about... I thought he was talking about me.
No
lack of... No.
He started with the word Rich.
But I can see how you can go.
With my subpar performance? All right, how about next Friday? I'll see you later.
All right, 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Celtics. What'd you make of Terry Rozier's open and honest comments after the game?
All right, we'll get to that next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 the game.
Call or text at 802-655-6672. Tweet us at 101.3 The Game. Send us a Facebook message. However you want to get in, you can. It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3, the game. Beautiful Thursday out there. Got a lot to get to. Power Hour coming up in about 30 minutes from now. First, though, Brady, we got to get to Terry Rozier's comments, but this is pretty interesting stuff on this.
Well, first, let's get to the mistake of the day.
Yeah, Rich, I told you the mistake of the day, Rich.
802-655-6672.
Come on now.
Brought to you by Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, your local shop for corporate apparel and corporate gifts. Get your company noticed with your company logo on shirts, sweatshirts, jackets, blankets, and more. With competitive pricing and super fast turnaround. As for those comments by Terry Rozier, yeah, there's really two that stand out. Terry Rozier, he was no holds barred in post game comments. He said, "I don't give a F what anybody said. I sacrificed the most out of anybody. I'm a top point guard in this league. I feel like it's a fresh start whether I'm here or whether I'm gone."
Goodbye.
What, hey, talk about delusional.
Goodbye.
I am a top point guard in this league. What the average this year, and I get the minutes, but he didn't do much with the minutes he was given.
Who are we talking about again? What's his name?
6 points and 2 assists a game. I'm a top point guard.
Wouldn't know you if you were serving me breadsticks at the Olive Garden. Goodbye.
You think he's positioning himself for a big fat contract anywhere? Oh.
He averaged 9 points. I don't know where you got six, but he averaged nine.
Right. Well, nine's good enough.
6.4 points per game in 18 minutes behind Irv. Oh, postseason. Okay.
Okay, there you go.
All right. It's still 9 points, 2 assists, top point guard.
Yeah.
Well, look. Laughable. You can understand, though, why Terry Rozier thinks that.
What, that he sacrificed really? The most, or he's a top point guard?
You can understand why he thinks both. Look at what he did last year in the playoffs. You're the one who always wants to tell me, look what the team did last year without Kyrie Irving.
Right.
Look what they did with Kyrie and Gord not there. Rozier was a principal factor in
their
beating
Milwaukee.
They all
were principal factors, and Tatum was a big principal factor also. They played as a team. They didn't play as a team with Kyrie.
Look at what Rozier did last year in the playoffs.
It was fantastic.
He single-handedly destroyed Eric Bledsoe last year. That is true.
I will give him his due, and if he wants the money, I don't blame him for it. Like, he's a young guy. Go get your money. Well, see who's going to give you the money. Go enjoy New Orleans or where you ever have to go.
Yeah, but do you ever get the feeling like he's a 23-point-a-game scorer like Kyrie? I just don't. I don't see him as
an
elite
much.
Anything. And I understand that the minutes were way down this year, but you know, don't you get your 18 minutes every night? Don't shoot 4 for 13. He just didn't have a lot of nights where you went, "Wow, look what Rozier did." Just nothing.
I got to find the exact playoff totals here, which I will. There you go. He averaged 16.5 points a game last year in the playoffs. 16.5 points a game last year in the playoffs. When you look at beating Milwaukee, beating Philly, and then playing Cleveland, 16.5 points a game last year. I think Terry Rozier could score 16 points a game in his career. I do believe that.
I think Terry Rozier thinks he's better than Kyrie Irving.
Yes, I think he thinks that too.
I think he believes that, though.
But don't you think that a lot of
it's good
young
to have the confidence,
that?
But it's not true.
No, it's not true.
Right.
But again, you don't get to the NBA as Antonio Daniels told us yesterday without an ego.
Of course.
No, if
course.
There's one guy on this team that will go absolutely anywhere for a payday, I just feel like it's him.
But
I just
say
he's already marketing himself.
Rich, I think this bothers you so much, and I think you have to look at this from the way these players look at it. You want the players to win as much as you want the team to win. Championships define a very few amount of players in this league. Kevin Durant is defined by championships. LeBron's defined by championships. Steph, Kyrie. Your elite, probably top 30 players are defined by championships. You know what the rest are defined by? The rest, they want to win. They love to have a ring. However, most of them, they want job security, they want playing time, and they want money. So, yes, it is selfish of Terry Rozier to think that he deserved more than he got. It is 100% selfish. It's also 100% understandable and 100% justifiable, because I promise you, if somebody told you in your radio career, "Hey, Rich, you can be the fill-in guy who does 4 shows a year on the top show in the country, or you can go to that little station that no one's ever heard of, but do a show every day and actually get to show off what you can do," you choose the latter. And that's what Rozier will choose.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm in that kind of a mindset. I don't know. I'd rather just have my everyday job. You know, that's just me. I'm not an ego guy. I just always felt like he had an unbelievably high ego for a guy who puts up 9 points a game.
But you want to have a show every day. You want to be on the air. Right. So you can... Here's the choice, Rich. You can go to
4 shows a year in Boston.
You can go to Boston tomorrow and be 14th on the totem pole, who they bring on for 1 minute a day, or you can be in Burlington and have a show every single day.
Yeah, I would take the latter because of Burlington. But that's another story.
I think you take it because of the job. If it was down to career only, I think you take it because of the job.
I didn't think he played well in his chance this year. I just didn't see it.
But you get why, though. And again, look, he did need to play better. And he admitted the fact that, like, he told you without saying it, yes, he was selfish. A lot of guys wanted to get theirs, of which he was one of them. He doesn't think he got the shot that he had earned. He doesn't think he got the shot that he deserved. You can understand how there's some bitterness and resentment that comes with that. I'm not saying it's justified to act that way. But for a guy who showed that he could play in the playoffs and score 16 points a game and take LeBron to Game 7 or be part of a team that took LeBron to Game 7, you get why he's frustrated and why he would want the money and opportunity.
Well, it's frustrating for me because it's just the whole storyline with him all year was, I'll get mine. I'm going to get mine. My payday is coming. I'm a top elite point guard. Well, then go out and prove it. Stop playing like garbage.
Jamie in St. Albans, he's a top 30 point guard.
Yes.
First time texter, you'll miss Rozier when he's torching the Celtics next season, shaking my head. And
really?
Rams fan Ralph is ripping you. Hey, Arnie, if I asked my boss for the day off for a concert, I would be fired. You need to be more dedicated, Rich. So I just wanted to go ahead and throw
that
out.
802-655-6672. Who agrees with Rozier?
You know, it's so funny because you mentioned Rozier and we talked about Tatum and I even picked on Brad Stevens and we picked on Kyrie, but you're not really picking on Gordo. And Gordo's one of the big, big reasons why this Celtic team underachieved. And I know you guys are giving him a pass because of his injuries,
but he
didn't have injuries as far as I'm concerned in the second half of the season. I thought he was caught up to speed and he is not the Gordon Hayward of old. And matter of fact, I don't know if he's ever going to return to that. I don't know if he's ever, not on this team. Maybe he could be a 20-point scorer again somewhere else, but I don't think on this Boston team.
Look, I'm not giving Gordon Hayward a pass, but it was so mentally it was so mentally convinced that they were going to lose this series that I was no longer yesterday paying attention to what
Even know he was playing. I mean, this guy's running around for 20, 25 minutes. I could barely see him out there.
Yeah, he was a complete no-show. Yeah. And it wasn't like he was playing 7 minutes. You're right.
You know what's going to help Gordon Hayward is that when Terry Rozier leaves. Right. Terry Rozier will leave. That will help Gordon Hayward. When Marcus Morris, who's a free agent, I predict he will leave. Okay, I think the best course of action, there's all this talk about, hey, let Kyrie go. Hey, we hope Horford declines. Hey, let's go trade for Davis. You know what I think the best course of action is for the Celtics? Keep their core exactly the same. Get rid of the extra guys, the internal competition, where Morris is gone and where Rozier is gone. And now you have less people to fit in the rotation. That inherently alone helps Hayward.
If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. No, I got to make big changes, Rich. I've had 2 years of frustration. I went to the Eastern Conference Finals. I felt good about myself. I brought back Kyrie from an injury. I brought in Gordon Hayward back from an injury, and I got worse. I've got to make some changes now. I can't do this. Plus, I've got people that want to leave. Like we said, Marcus Smart. Is that
Marcus Morris?
Marcus Morris. Yeah. Goodbye. You know, goodbye to Rozier. I'm going to trade you. Go get your money. Goodbye. I'm the Boston Celtics. I'll get people to replace him. I'll figure this out. Yeah. Bring in Walker. I'll figure this out who I want to get.
I just don't see how in the world Gordon Hayward improves with Rozier and somebody else gone. Because didn't he play 30 minutes most nights anyway? I mean, he still got his minutes in the rotation
this
year.
There's less deferring when there's more options. You can defer when there's other options there and you don't have the confidence. I think you take out the internal competition and that will help Hayward. That will help Smart. That will help everybody who is fighting for their shot, namely Tatum and Brown also. Get rid of the internal competition. Play with your 3 or 4 first-round draft picks that you have and let the young, hungry guys you get in the first round who are willing to fall in line with their role. That's the problem. Rozier was no longer willing to fall in line with his role. Tatum was no longer willing to fall in line with his role at times. Brown in the same thing early in the season. Maybe Hayward didn't want to fall in line with his role all the time. These guys want to showcase what they can do. There are too many good players. It's hard to fathom that there's... look, if you had 5 elite wide receivers, someone's going to be upset that they're not getting the ball. It's the same situation here.
Madden St. Albans, you're only judging Rozier by points and assists, not the way he facilitates ball movement last year, and the rest of the team knew their roles.
I watched the games. I mean, I don't know. I just can't get past the fact that he's so cocky. He's so sure of himself. It's ridiculous.
Scott in Pottsburgh, keep Morris, keep Smart. Let Rozier and Hayward go. Need another big.
Well,
the problem is
Hayward
you can't
go.
Let Hayward go because nobody would touch that guy with a 10-foot pole.
No, you're stuck with him.
Yeah. Is that? Think about that. When you're into a contract. And you couldn't get rid of this guy if you If you picked up half yourself.
There's so many things about this Celtics season that are so unbelievable. And if you told me, and this is making a huge assumption, that the Bruins go on to win the Stanley Cup, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that the Celtics would be the one team out of the four Boston teams in the beginning of 2018 forward that would not have a championship in the next year and a half, I would have told you, you're out of your mind. I would have put them possibly ahead of the Patriots. I really was that sure they were going to win it this year.
Alex and Moncton brings up a good point. This is a learning process for Stevens, too. He's never had to manage personalities before. Maybe improves that. Maybe he can't.
No, that's what Tracy Murray, 12-year NBA veteran, he told us yesterday. Same thing.
This is where things are a little different, and especially when you used to coaching in college like Brad Stevens, and then you come to the NBA.
Right.
You have the power and the control in high school, in college. Once you jump up to the NBA, it's the Players League, and they make way more money than you do, and you can go first. So what you have to do is make sure you can maintain a positive relationship and a respectful relationship with the top two guys on your team, or else you're out of there.
You know, it's not that I'm picking up Brad Stevens. You know what I think about coaching.
You think it's not important?
Well, maybe there's a few upper elite things.
You only believe that coaching matters in the NFL. That's it.
Well, pretty much so. I mean, I think my case is proven when Steve Kerr went down and Luke Walton came in and went 30-2 for Golden State. I think I could have went 30-2 and rolled the ball out there.
I think the NBA matters the least.
I don't know. Is Brad Stevens that much of a better coach than Luke Walton, who just got a new 5-year deal, or Tyronn Lue? Is his offensive philosophy better, or you're just as good as how your players are? That's really what it comes down to. I mean, look at Phil Jackson and those guys. Yeah, Phil's a great coach or GM when you got Scottie and Michael and Shaq and Kobe, but you're not winning so much when you don't got those guys.
I believe ownership situation matters, of which the Celtics are a great situation.
Yes.
I believe your players matter. I believe X's and O's matters, and I believe that your ability to manage people matters, and that's the one that I thought Stevens was elite at that maybe now we're seeing he's just pretty good at.
X's and O's mean the least to me.
Yes.
In this, especially because, I mean, how many times are you really going to call out a set play? This is the NBA. They're running up and down and they're gunning, that's for sure.
Have you ever seen an offseason coming up more anticipated than this with the Celtics? And I've always said the Celtics are my fourth favorite Boston team, and I don't follow them nearly to the obsessive point that I follow the other three teams. But I can't wait for this offseason. I have no idea what's going to be in the green and white come next season.
I want to see what they're going to do to replace Kyrie when he leaves. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to leave.
I mean, the only thing you can do is you can re-sign Rozier. You can match whatever offer Rozier gets on the outside. Oof. You could go for Kemba Walker. That's the only guy that I would take as a comparable. But other than that, you're getting lesser of a player. Kemba Walker, you're getting a lesser player.
Right. Unless there's somebody that we're not thinking of. Unless Kyrie Leonard says, Kawhi Leonard says, bag Los Angeles, I want to go to Boston. I don't know what's going to happen. There's not too many big stars out there unless they figure a way to get Anthony Davis, or there's some other guy I'm missing. Maybe they could, out of all the years, they don't have the number one pick for Zion. That's really killing them now. 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Bruins. We'll preview it. Bruins. Game one against the Hurricanes.
That's next. You're in the huddle.
Call or text at 802-655-6672. Tweet us at 1013thegame. Send us a Facebook message. However you want to get in, you can. It's the huddle on 101.3 The Game.
By the way, who's the number one picked on guy in not only sports, but in the Boston area today? It's Kyrie Irving.
Yep. Correct.
And I love that all his teammates came to his defense.
Marcus Smart did.
That's the only one that said, that's BS, that's BS. That's the only one. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, Will Robinson. Wow. You don't know what that means. That's lost in space.
Yeah.
But that's a warning. When only one guy says something, everybody from top to bottom, Hayward should be talking. If anybody should be talking, he said, hey, this is on me, not on Kyrie. They should all be saying something. Nobody said anything.
Well, number one, Al Horford, Marcus Morris, and Kyrie all already left Boston, of which they're allowed to do. The players talking to the media today, this is completely optional. Those guys do not have to be there. So,
but you could back up your teammates.
Well, Horford's gone. Horford's gone. Morris is gone. Kyrie's gone. So those guys are all out. Hayward did speak, as did Smart. Smart defended Kyrie. Hayward, all they did was ask him about Kyrie's free agency decision, and he said, hey, you got to ask Kyrie that question. That's not for me to answer. That's it.
No, but I mean, after the game, You know, obviously, you know, people are going to go and point the finger at Kyrie. And I think you got to stick up for your guy. That's all. I think you got to say, hey, we win as a team, we lose as a team. I didn't see anybody say, hey, you know, this is not on Kyrie other than Marcus Smart. I don't know. Maybe then, you know, maybe they should have just gone. What, they all went on vacation the 2 minutes after the game?
You know what? That might be a possibility. Yeah. They're off on some island somewhere.
I mean, now they are. I don't know. About 2 minutes after the game, though, they were up in Milwaukee. So, all right, you know what? I think it's a warning sign of things to come that only one person spoke up on his
behalf. Like I said, I have a feeling this is going to be a hell of an off season for the Celtics.
Oh, we got game one tonight, Bruins, Hurricanes.
Yeah.
I bet you the ratings are going to go through the roof on that.
But no, I sense some sarcasm in your voice?
No, look, naturally, a lot of people, you know, not going to get in, they don't care. You're right.
It's sad.
Regional thing on this one, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great Eastern Conference final. It just doesn't have the cachet or anything like that.
Great, I'm not so sure. And I, you know me, I'm always picking against Boston teams because I just feel like I have to be pessimistic because I'm a Bostonian. But this one, man, I just feel like that this is going to be fairly easy. And I think I cannot believe how nicely, clearly the path has been paved right from the start. Once they get past Toronto, the path has been paved so clearly for this team.
If allow yourself to think way ahead, if the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, which of the three titles would mean more to you? Which would mean the most?
I would have to say, this is going to sound strange with the Pats.
Why? Because I hate football more than anything.
I hate off-season football. It just doesn't matter. Just kick the ball and let's go. Game one.
Yeah, but how you build a team doesn't.
Right.
You're the one sitting here saying, "Oh, I'm so fascinated by the Patriots or by the Celtics off-season. I can't wait to see who's in the green and white."
That was a lie.
However, hate the draft. You hate team building and you hate free agency in the NFL.
There's something about the NFL, but it's because we never stop talking about it all through July. I know what we're going to talk about in July and all summer long. We're going to be talking. We're going to speculate about what the Patriots did and what the Giants did. And I just don't. I'm not a speculator. Box score.
No, no. In the summer, we get ready for the upcoming year.
Yeah, that's not speculating.
What are you going to do? This team's going to go 13-3 or 2-14.
I just like fact, and that makes it tough with sports radio because half of sports radio is just guessing.
Yeah, well,
so
I mean, I love the summertime. But, you know, you got the preseason games,
but that bit being said, it felt like the Patriots was just a big F you to everybody. It just keeps on going. It's just like the gift that keeps on giving. I'll tell you, though, the Bruins would absolutely be right there. That's almost an impossible question for a Boston sports fan to answer.
I'm just excited to see Tuukka Rask. Because I was reading today in The Athletic, and all their NHL writers got together, and 64% of them said they think the Bruins are not only going to win this series, but win the Cup. And a lot of them thought Tuukka Rask was going to be the MVP of the playoffs, or the MVP of the Stanley Cup Finals, rather. And as hockey naivete as I have, or as much hockey naivete as I have, and as I'm working to learn a lot of it, and I'm working to really care about a lot of it too, but it's been the previous 2 years, it's been, can this team win with Tuukka? Can they, Arnie talks about making changes with Kyrie and making changes with the Celtics. A lot of people are wondering, hey, is Tuukka really the guy that can get him over the hump? Hey, they changed out Claude Julien, but can they still got Tuukka. Can they win with him? Well, Tuukka can completely turn his playoff reputation on his head. I think he's already worked to do that largely, but if they could get to the Cup and win it, I mean, and Tuukka could be the MVP.
And I'll say it again. This is the first time he's come into the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know what I'm going to say. Rested. And I don't know if you could call it anything rested.
Carolina hasn't played since Friday.
I'm saying he has played every year. He's played 60, 65 games. Not 65. That's a little high, but 60-ish games. This year he played, I think it was 45. And then Halak backed him up. Halak's had like 38 or 40 or something like that. And that, I got to believe, when you're playing every single night for potentially up to 2 months, then it makes a huge difference.
Wilk and Charlotte, the couple of me mean more to me than any of them. Let me ask you this.
It's close.
Gronk aside, what kind of parade would be for the Bruins compared to the Patriots? I got to think it'd be a little bit wilder for the Bruins with those hockey fans. It wouldn't be nearly the amount of turnout, I'm assuming.
Might be a little alcohol involved.
Yeah, but it's not going to have the turnout that the Patriots had. But it's, it's, well, What, you think it is?
I'm trying to think what the parade, I'll tell you what, the Church Street Parade after 2011 with Tim Thomas and the Cup was something else. They were 10 deep all the way up and down Church Street. But I don't know. And I look back and I'm going to regret that Patriots thing because it's so 1A, 1B, 1C. And the fact that there's potentially three of them that I can choose between is ridiculous.
By the way, our number one listener just sent in a text. I agree more often with Arnie, who combines Rich's fan emotion and Brady's larger context with a national perspective. I mean, Boston Homer, 57 years old, grew up in Maine, suffered many years with the Sox and Patriots losing teams, Celtics up and down. Arnie shares my perspective. Obviously a very smart guy.
Was it the Church of Arnie today?
What perspective?
I don't know, but I have to agree with him.
The national perspective.
First time texter, why are we so hard on the Celtics when the East has been the best in years?
The East has been the best in years. Yeah. And that is another thing, too, about Arnie.
Yeah, I disagree with you on that.
Something I'm hesitant about is just blowing up the Celtics.
Well, I disagree with the East being the best in years.
Kawhi Leonard might not be back in Toronto. Jimmy Butler probably isn't back in Philadelphia. Arnie Collins talking about them trading Joel Embiid.
Because East has only two out of the three.
Some of the top teams in the East could be broken up after this year, and then it could redisperse the talent.
Look what they're doing again. You mentioned Philadelphia. They're higher. They finished third. They're closer to a championship, and they may make moves. Toronto finished higher. They make moves.
They're going to have to try to keep Kawhi, and Philly's going to have to try to figure out what to do with Jimmy Butler, who's a free agent.
And I think Milwaukee was a one seed or a two seed last year, and they made moves by getting a new coach and a player or two. So even the top three teams made moves. What makes you think that Boston, who finished at the number four and probably would have finished at the five spot, had Oladipo not go down, that they shouldn't make moves? If everybody held it, in front of you is making moves out there, you got to do that. Everyone's forgetting about Bradley Beal. How many people are going to send that in?
I think it's the same guy.
Oh, is it the same guy? Yeah. All right, we got that. I'm not too enamored with Bradley Beal like everybody else is. Ben says, Rich, I'm 100% with you. Definitely Patriots because of
the FU.
Yes.
Okay. But 2011 Bruins parade was the best ever.
It was unbelievable. We had our station van right as part of the parade. I almost ran over about 500 people. By mistake, yes. That was incredible. That was a great day.
Jay says Jimmy Butler in Boston would be awesome. You think Kyrie Irving is tough to coach?
Yeah, I'm not crazy.
There's a reason why Jimmy Butler will end up playing for 12 teams in his career.
He'll stay in Philly, I think. I'm not crazy about Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's a good player and all, but that's not the first person that comes to mind when I'm thinking about making moves. And to get my team better.
No.
I'm not thinking about that.
I would stay far away from Jimmy Butler.
Isn't it funny with all these stars that are in the NBA that you and Brady think that are out there? Not too many people that the Celtics go out. Like Brady doesn't go, who are you gonna get? Not a lot of stars out there, is there, Brady, that
about,
you go out?
I'm talking about who's gonna help me win a title. Kyrie Irving is a star who can help me win a title.
Brady, not a lot of stars where we were talking about who are you gonna get? Anthony Davis, Kemba Walker. That's it. I mean, there's not a lot of big names.
I don't care about stars. Yeah. I care about really good players, and Kyrie Irving is a really good player.
Kyrie's supposed to be your star.
I don't care, though. But see, you and I differ on that.
Yeah.
You want the guy to sell shoes and go on the red carpet and be out at the Met.
Oh, absolutely.
Be out at the, I don't care if the guy is marketable. Like, Kawhi Leonard is not a star. He's not marketable. But I see Jay Williams on ESPN saying he's as good as Kobe Bryant or better. Like,
I think it was Max Kellerman that said that.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah,
people are so Kawhi Leonard does nothing for me in any of that other stuff. But if he can help me win a title, that's what I care.
I tell you, I would rather have him than just about anybody on this team. I think he's probably a great clubhouse guy because he doesn't say anything.
Yeah, so. You know that does turn me off a little bit too.
Yeah, I know because you say a lot.
Well, yeah, the standoffish.
You don't seem like the type that likes the quiet people.
Yeah, that's not me. 2 hours are in the books. The Power Hour is coming up next. Brady will tell you what's trending. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
Clay Trapp. They call him the stinking genius. But is he really that smart?
Yeah.
Find out what Arnie is thinking next on the Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle. 101.3 The Game. It is the Power Hour of the show.
You were right. You would say that.
I knew it.
Because it is the Power Hour. By the way, we decided to give you next Friday off.
Go ahead.
What? But you can't go to Millennium or whatever the hell you want to go say. Yeah, we'll give you the diff. You can hang around here, but you can't go see that band.
That sounds much more exciting. Yeah,
I'm not going to let you do it. I'm putting my foot down, Rich.
You can just be with all the other salespeople that don't work on Friday.
Exactly.
Maybe all the salespeople will be at, quote, Millennium, too.
You know, one time it's so funny you said that. One time I ditched class, my first period class, drama, in high school. And I went to Mort's Deli, which was a couple blocks from the school. And when
Mort's
I went there,
Deli.
My
that's so Brooklyn.
When I walked in there, my teacher was there. She was ditching class too.
Those salespeople, let's be nice to them. They just left a giant heap of jelly bellies in the front office, in the lobby.
That's nice of them.
Oh, nothing like a little Thursday afternoon late sugar buzz.
I'm shocked they left it here and they know where the station is.
Wow.
I'm so bad.
It does feel like Friday.
It does. I almost said Friday.
Arnie, I got to give you credit. Yeah. You hit a game-winning shot yesterday.
I was good. Yeah, I had like 3-4 three-pointers, but I missed a lot. I was just gunning it up. I was just shooting like
you said you were gonna.
Yeah. Arnie was in you know, that's funny. The one thing Arnie hasn't mentioned today is that Stevie Beats.
Oh yeah, Stevie Beats blocked my shot.
Like, did he get in a fight?
No, he blocked my shot.
Not only did he block it, he annihilated it.
Yeah, but I got it right back and shot it again.
And did you make it?
No, I missed it.
So you were like 1-for-12, but that one was a game-winning shot.
I was like 4-for-20. I shot like 20 times. I was just gunning.
So you were Kyrie, basically.
Oh, I was gunning. I was a little better than Kyrie. I was just a little bit, though.
Arnie went in and shot a kind of a one-handed floater, and I never thought he would get to the lane. He was just backed the guy down.
I got to do that now. People are just in my grill. They don't let me shoot, and it's frustrating. I need a bigger court. I need more room. Arnie needs to shoot NBA threes.
Arnie needs a huge court so that there's more space for him to be left open.
More chances for him to sprint down the court.
I tore your buddy up, what's his name, from Milton? O'Grady.
Derek O'Grady.
Destroyed him.
Do you know how many times a show you say, what's his name? You sound like me.
Well, if he was any better, I'd remember his name.
No, it's not true. When the UVM guys come play with us, you don't remember them either.
Yeah, I wish they'd come this year, but I guess there's nobody really, no scragglers left, so we'll have to wait till next year.
Wow. Trimboli should come out and he can get you for 50.
He's afraid. He's afraid.
He's afraid.
He don't want to.
He's afraid he'll only get 52 against you instead of 60.
You said you're joining a league, right?
I might be joining the league, but I don't want to say where and when so that it doesn't.
I would join
up.
But I don't think anybody's going to pick me. So, you know, it's like one of those where you have to play and then they have a draft and they pick you, and I never get picked.
They might have a senior citizens division.
Yeah. 50 and over, like the senior games. I'm still looking for two guys to play with, and the senior game's not working.
I know, and you were working at Orange Theory today. You were working Aaron Miller and his buddies there.
Well, Aaron's only like 47, 48. Oh. I know he looks like 60, so.
But he looks like he's about 23.
Shut up. It's not even fair. What is wrong with you?
But it's not fair.
Look at you suck it up to that guy.
Only I can look like that.
I love it.
I was trivia yesterday real quick.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Great. It was wonderful. And I'll tell you, we got out of there just in the nick of time. I asked my last question, and I look out in the parking lot, and there's busloads of St. Michael's students for a night out of carousing at the bowling alleys.
Well, the future of this world.
Hundreds of them.
That's where intern Lance
was. Yes, the future of this world.
They're pouring out of the back of school buses. I'm like, well, we got that done just in time.
Here's the big question. If you graduated today as a 22-year-old, dumb-out-of-the-box graduate, would you get into radio all over again?
Oh, absolutely. As long as it directed me towards baseball play-by-play, yes.
And my answer would have been no way. Would have gotten into real estate like I should have and made a boatload of money, and I'd be super, super rich.
I know it. I'll tell you.
I wouldn't be waiting for my mother-in-law to die.
Is she still kicking?
Is this mic on? Did that go over the air?
Yeah. No, you're right, though. I kicked myself growing up spent summers in South Hero, and I just thought, Mom, Dad, man, why didn't they buy some of that real estate up on the lakefront in South Hero? That probably worth about $30,000 back in the 60s and 70s. It's worth millions
now.
You
want a time machine, I'd go back and buy all of Beverly Hills for crying out loud.
Hey.
Unbelievable.
I would get into radio, but I would have actually done radio in college. I didn't even do radio in college.
I didn't do
radio
in college.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. I did.
No.
Like, I would have gotten into it in college and been better at it.
WWLR, the rock of the Northeast Kingdom. 10 watts of ripping power at Linden State.
That's where you do your fake voice.
Top 5.
Here's 40 straight minutes of Led Zeppelin.
I'm glad I didn't do it in college. I had no idea what I wanted to do when I got out of college. It just kind of fell in my lap one day.
My problem was I was so anxious to do it that as a freshman, the senior would say, oh, we've got some shows for you. And, oh, wow, look, they're all 6 a.m. on weekdays. And you know what 6 a.m. at college means?
Yeah,
I know. Not much.
Horrible.
Means hungover is what it means.
Yes, it sure did at Linden.
802-655-6672. Celtics lose yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I seriously, start calling in now. 802-655-6672, because on the herd today with Colin Cowherd.
Oh, this was big.
Chris Broussard, NBA insider.
LeBron.
You laugh, but here's what Chris Broussard had to say about LeBron and about the Celtics.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I think there are two teams that it might make sense to trade for LeBron. One is Boston. Because Danny, they're a great historic franchise that I don't think LeBron would frown on being a part of. And Danny Ainge is like, let's win now. All in. Let's win. Okay? And I think LeBron could go there. And so I think that makes some sense.
How about this? Okay, again, I got to play it again. It's so big, we got to play it again. LeBron, Boston, what?
I'm just throwing it out there. I think there are two teams that it might make sense to trade for LeBron. One is Boston. Because Danny, they're a great historic franchise that I don't think LeBron would frown on being a part of. And Danny Ainge is like, let's win now. All in. Let's win. Okay? And I think LeBron could go there. And so I think that makes some sense.
Okay.
No.
LeBron James, Boston. 802-655-6672. Arnie, you're the one who wants to blow everything up.
I don't want LeBron. I don't need him. I don't need Maverick Carter, his whole business. I don't need him sipping wine while he comes to the game. What else did he do? There was one other thing besides the sipping wine. There was some other thing he was doing. I forgot. He was showboating.
Oh, no, sipping wine at a game. Why is that bad?
LeBron.
Oh, LeBron was. I thought you were talking about some other guy.
LeBron's sipping wine because he was injured as he's coming into the locker room.
Okay,
sipping
that's
the glass
different.
Of wine. I just don't need the whole circus, media circus. And plus, he really only has, let's say, 3 more years. 2 of them maybe at high level. Maybe. I'm past that. I don't need to bring him out to the East Coast. Don't need him to bring him in Boston. He comes with a lot of baggage, but he can get you to the finals. I just don't need to go in that direction.
Boy,
right now.
How fascinating would that be, though? I, as a Celtics fan, my first thought on that was I absolutely cringe. My second thought was 23-8-8 being added to that roster.
You already got 23 with Kyrie.
I understand that, but Kyrie apparently doesn't want to be in Boston anymore. At least it looks like he doesn't. So I agree with Arnie. I don't like the circus aspect of it, but I would need to know what LeBron has around him. And that's why I continue to say this offseason is going to be so much fun. We have no idea what this team is going to look like next year.
I don't want anything to do with LeBron James. Not because I don't like LeBron. I do like LeBron. I enjoy watching LeBron play. But you think that Brad Stevens got overrun by Kyrie Irving. If you think Brad Stevens got overrun by Kyrie Irving, Brad Stevens would have no chance with LeBron James. Yep. Brad Stevens would have no chance. Brad Stevens is an excellent coach. You are fortunate to have him. Okay? Took you to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals with nothing, with guys off the scrap heap. And then you're going to put him in a position here with LeBron James. You talk about, Terry Rozier said it, that we put Brad Stevens in a hard position because everybody wanted everything. If LeBron comes there, you're all in on LeBron, and everything is what LeBron wants. And you're going to become Cleveland 2.0 or LA 2.0, and neither one of those are any good
By the way, oh gosh, I can't even believe I'll have to ask this because it may be a stupid question. Who'd be a bigger star here, LeBron or Tom Brady?
Brady, 100%.
LeBron's a bigger star nationally. I'm just saying LeBron is a much bigger star than Tom Brady.
Yes.
Much bigger star nationally and globally than Tom Brady.
Yeah, he makes himself that way. Tom Brady shies away from it.
Tom Brady may be more popular here, and that may be true, but overall, like if we're just talking about, just how much you like a guy or, how much you'll embrace him, LeBron's going to be way up there. It's not going to, maybe not quite as Brady, but Brady's got all those Super Bowls. That's why.
Right, I hadn't thought about the Brad Stevens aspect of it. I mean, that would be an absolute circus.
I mean, you think that Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier made it hard?
Yeah.
And Marcus Morris made it hard on Brad Stevens. LeBron James would make it impossible for Brad Stevens to function at a high level. And I'm with
Tyronn Lue can handle it.
No, Tyronn Lue handled winning, and Tyronn Lue only won because they catered everything LeBron did. I don't think that's the smartest thing for Boston. And one of our texters, I think it was Alex in South Burlington, is right too. You'd have to gut the team to get LeBron.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to have to trade Tatum, and you're probably going to have to trade one more at this point to get LeBron.
You know, by the way, I want you to know something. Getting rid of Tatum is not a bad thing. Actually, that's a gift. Because here's a guy that you're going to give max contract to, and he's not going to be worth the money.
If I'm letting Kyrie go, or if Kyrie's not coming back, and now I'm getting rid of Tatum, and I'm getting rid of somebody else, and Rozier's going to leave. Now I'm losing four players to get LeBron. I don't think I'm in better position.
A 30-what-year-old yes. LeBron. 35, not, whatever he is.
He's 34 right 34. Now, so he'll be 35 next season.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not worth it. Yeah, it's just not worth
and
it.
And you mentioned Tatum and his max contract. When would that be? When is he due? 2 years? I think he's got a couple of years. I think we'll know a lot more about Jason
I'm not
Tatum.
Giving him. I already know all I need to know about him.
See, as much as I've trashed him this year and about stepping sideways with his career after that incredible rookie year and all those expectations, I feel like you got to give him a couple. What is he, 21?
He's 20? Got like, he wouldn't become an unrestricted free agent for, he becomes a restricted free agent in 3 years or
okay.
something.
And
or
two in years. 3 years, you're going to know if he is a 15-7 guy for the rest of his life. You're going to know. You got three more years to find that out. Or is he going to become the superstar that they think that he's going to be?
Will in Pittsburgh said you nailed it, Brady. I'm not sure what you nailed.
I think I probably nailed about how hard it would be for Brad Stevens.
Vince says, hope Celtics keep Gordon Hayward.
Vince.
Has he ever sent a serious text in his life?
I just want him to go on the podcast.
He would be fun.
Yeah, but he won't come on. He's too scared to come on the podcast.
He's a big talker.
You know,
an internet talker.
Yes.
And I know I said this earlier, but Gordon does deserve a lot more wrath than he's getting. It seems like we're giving him a bye. I don't know if it's because of the injuries or because he's a likable guy or he's kind of quiet, unassuming. I'm not sure why it is, but he should be ripped up there, not quite as much as Kyrie, but if Kyrie's getting ripped like on a scale of 1 to 10, if Kyrie's getting ripped like a 10, Gordon should be getting ripped like a 9.
I think he gets the whole year with a free pass. I really do. And the playoffs really sucked for him, let's face it.
Because
everybody was saying, oh, wow, he looks like, and we've said it before, he looks like the old Gordon Hayward. Wow, you're getting these 22-point performances, and he looks like the Utah Gordon Hayward. And then he comes out in the playoffs and just completely disappears. So I think you just have to give him this year. But I'll tell you, if he's doing the same thing halfway through next year, I think the tune is going to be a little different.
What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
No, there's nothing you can do about it. No, but my point is that the media and the fans are going to start railing against him a little bit more. I just think you need to give him a little bit of time.
Hayward had a great game 4 against Indiana. He had double digits in the fourth quarter. It's in there. It's frustrating that we saw it. But you know what? We saw it in a way when other guys didn't play and Hayward was free to kind of be a leader on the court, he excelled. He played well. You know, look, even in game 4 against Indiana when Smart was out, one less body there to deal with in competition. That's why I think the best course of action for this team is add bit players and let Marcus Morris go in free agency. Let Rozier go as a restricted free agent. Take out the internal competition. Take out the egos. Allow Kyrie, Hayward, Tatum, Brown, and Horford. Allow those five to be the five. Those are the five. Go and add a couple of bench players or go and add your three first-round draft picks who are young players who are hungry and willing to acquiesce to a role that you need. I don't think this team needs a massive overhaul. I don't think they need to change out four players, five players, six players, and make three trades for Anthony Davis. I don't think this team needs that. Keep it looking like it looks at its core. Let the periphery go. Aaron Baines is a free agent who can opt out also. Be happy if he goes. And now start to implement some of your own role players there who are okay with their limited role, who can add to the team and not take away from it.
If you're not making moves, you're not getting better. The Red Sox won a World Series. They still made moves.
I'm getting addition by subtraction. Yeah. And what moves did the Red Sox make to get better? All you talked about is how they let Kimbrel go.
Well, no, but they did. They gave Sale the extension. Pedroia came back. They signed Eovaldi.
Those are all players that won the World Series for them. But, how is that a change?
Well, they could have let Eovaldi go, right?
But he was on the team and helped win the World Series.
Well, they didn't have to give him that type of money. They didn't have to give Sale the extension.
But Sale would have been here anyways, remember?
Right, he would have been here for one more year.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes making a move when you win helps. Sometimes if you don't make a move, it helps. They made some bad moves there. Look, the Celtics would be better off getting rid of these guys. Look what the Red Sox did. Sale, not a good contract. Pedroia, not a good contract. Eovaldi, probably not going to be that great of a contract. You know, you were so worried and so panicked. Don't be so panicked, especially in the NBA where one guy can make such a difference. Take a deep breath, all right? You'll get back on track. You just got to get the right guys. You don't always have to have the superstar, like you said, Brady. That's your words. You don't always have to have the superstar out there. You could win without Kyrie. You've showed it before. Don't be so panicky out there.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do at the end of the bench, too. Ajayi and Yabusele obviously gone. Tice will probably be back. But the reason I mention that is because they potentially, they have four, I believe. Don't they have four first-round picks? I thought it was three.
It's three, potentially four.
I mean, if the ping-pong balls fall right, they might get somebody there. They've got Sacramento's top pick as long as it isn't the number one overall pick. I understand Sacramento had a much better year than we were hoping they'd have. But that could be the number two pick. It probably won't. It'll probably be 12, 13. No. But they also have the Grizzlies pick if it's beyond eight. So, I mean, you might get somebody that might surprise someone. And I only say that because if you've got four first-round picks, you have a lot better chance of hitting on one of them.
802-655-6672. Do the Celtics need a roster overhaul? Because, look, Arnie thinks they need to get rid of everybody. Get rid of everybody and make a massive overhaul of the roster.
And add Derek O'Grady.
I think essentially the Celtics need to stand pat and just let the kind of the fat of the steak off. Keep the steak intact and cut off the fat. That's what they need to do. One texter agrees with me. Completely agree, Brady. Get rid of Rozier and Morris. Get the draft picks and add a veteran or two on the bench. No need for Anthony Davis as long as Kyrie stays.
Oh, wait a minute. Now all of a sudden Rozier and Morris are fat? You just gave me 16 points a game in the playoffs 2 years.
I'm saying the year before.
Where all of a sudden he's fat and grizzled?
I'm saying I need the excess players, the players who are causing the. Look, there's a reason why everybody can't get their shots.
There's a reason why
people feel insecure about their roles, and it's because there's too many of them. I'm not getting rid of Kyrie. I can't get rid of Hayward. I can't get rid of Horford because he's going to opt into his deal, I hope. And then I don't want to get rid of Brown and Tatum. I want those five to be my core. Those five are my guys. I get rid of everybody else can go, and I'll rebuild the bench. I'll get my four draft picks. I'll get Robert Williams, who I took in the first round last year, to come back off the bench, and I'll add one or two veterans at a lower level, a lower value deal.
I love what Will in Plattsburgh says. You can't blame Irving, but let's face it, nobody showed up after game one. You can't blame Kyrie. You can't blame Brad Stevens. You can't blame Gordon Hayward because he was hurt. Well, who the hell are you going to blame? Somebody got to take the blame. Somebody's got to take the punishment. I'm not bringing everybody back. So can you imagine? Think about this, Brady. You bring everybody back. Maybe you said you cut one piece of fat, but you're bringing everybody back, and you still don't win it again. Oh! And you're no better for the worse. Well, get out of here. I can't do that. I can't risk that. I can't bring everybody back and then be stuck in the same spot.
Here's the thing, though. This is what you're forgetting.
Yeah.
The Celtics, the stats after game one, they look largely the same as Milwaukee for the most part. Milwaukee played much better in the paint because of Giannis. But outside of that, transition points relatively close. Fast break points relatively close. Rebounding pretty close. Turnovers pretty close. Assists pretty close. What was the difference? The difference was that Boston didn't shoot well. Boston shot 31% yesterday. 17% from three. Maybe some of that is that they were a little bit disengaged in game five. I'll give you that even, that they were a bit disengaged yesterday. But by and large, I'm not breaking apart the team because of four poorly shooting games. But they shot 54% in game one, and they won that game, and they won it handedly. If they shoot 48%, 47%, we might be talking about a game six. But when you shoot 31%, you got no chance to win. That's not a problem for the whole roster. That's a four-game sample size to me.
But I do feel like that the Celtics, for the first time in years, have to reset. And they have to think in the offseason about what it is they want to be. Who do they want to have leading this team? It just seems like they've added and added and added year after year. And they've just gotten better and better. This year, things went downhill fast, especially in the playoffs against Milwaukee. And it just feels like they need to reset. And they need to make a lot of changes, which hasn't been the case for years.
I don't think they need a lot of changes. Ryan Russillo of ESPN, UVM grad and our buddy, he agrees with you guys, though.
Have we seen the last of Kyrie in a Celtic uniform?
I hope so. That team was so unlikable all year long. And you know what? They admitted it the entire time. And you look at the roster beginning of the year, you're like, this is going to be incredible. You're going to add these two healthy vets and Kyrie and Hayward back to this group. And it didn't work for long stretches. They had a nice little record stretch. Some of their overall stats, you'd go, wait a minute, they're actually a pretty good basketball team. But Ainge admitted they had problems. Stevens, who gives you almost nothing, was cryptic about their problems. I understand the default rule in the NBA is that you never want to lose the asset for nothing, but it's so obvious that this team, with all of this talent, it didn't click. And to come back and look the same, it seems like that just seems impossible right now. Like, what would the point be?
Yeah. You know, I could probably come up with 10 guys I'd rather have on my team than Kyrie.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Yeah. Now, Rich, you made a good point. Talk about what you want to be. Boston did two things this year that really hurt them. One, they did not get to the free throw line. They were one of the lowest-ranked teams in getting to the foul line. And Gordon Hayward is a guy who historically has gotten to the free throw line. And for long stretches of the year, he didn't have the confidence, probably physically and mentally, to do that. So they don't get to the line. They don't have that interior presence and the willingness to go to the line. So they better be a really good shooting team. Well, their shooting became very, very sporadic. They need to do two things. Add a big man who is able to get to the bucket and is able to draw contact, or at least draw a double team to kick out to some open shooters and get to the free throw line. Or when they trim the fat like I want them to with Morris and Rozier going, then they can get some bench guys that are shooters and that can be dynamite from the outside, because that's what they don't have. Right? They're good at everything, and they're not great at one given thing.
And that screams Anthony Davis, but you don't want to gut the team.
I'm not gutting the team for a guy who's here for 1 year.
No, I agree. You've got to figure out a way to make that go a little bit longer than 1 year, obviously. I mean, I don't... You've got to get some sort of guarantee from Anthony Davis before you make any move. I'm not gutting the team for 1 year.
No, you're not going to gut it for 1 year. But, you know, like I said, it did work out for Toronto. By the way, I'd rather have Durant, Harden, Leonard, Lillard, maybe Paul George, Curry, Westbrook.
I'd rather have Westbrook.
Yeah,
than,
I like Westbrook.
I love Westbrook, but he's not better than Kyrie. Stop.
I think they're about equal.
Can you imagine him on that team?
I think about his young mouths around. I love the rebounds and the assists to go with the points. I like his fieriness. Completely opposite of Kyrie. That's the type of attitude I want. If Kyrie acted like Westbrook, I would have no problem with him. I would rather have Russell. I bet you our listeners, the Celtics fans, would rather have Russell Westbrook than Kyrie.
I don't think so. 802-655-6672. Tell Arnie that he's crazy and that you would not rather have Russell Westbrook. But it's all immaterial in that the guys you just listed, with the exception of Durant, they're all under contract.
Right.
You need to be talking to... You're looking at Kemba
Walker.
Well,
I'm just trying to tell you where I'm putting Kyrie on the star scale.
How about Paul George? Completely different player from Kyrie.
Yeah, but I'm just saying where I put them. I think Kyrie's star power is dropped off the top 10 and maybe dropping further.
You don't even look at those players, with the exception of Durant. Right. Durant's a free agent after the year.
Right, right.
But it's fun to speculate.
But Kemba Walker, D'Angelo Russell, those are the guys that you need to look at. Right. Those are the two point guards that are free agents.
Right, and there's other players you can get if you want to make a trade, the Anthony Davises of the world. I do like him. Arnie, you're crazy. That's Eric in Burlington. Obviously, there's a lot of Colin Coward fans out there, because he rips Russell Westbrook like it's going crazy out there. Arnie, are there 10 players that we can get that you'd rather have than Kyrie? I just told you that. Thank you, Chris.
No, that we can actually get. Oh, that you're not under contract.
There's not 10 players you'd rather have.
One from that list.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's one, and he's not coming here, so that's not going to happen. That's how tough it is there. All the star power there's allegedly in the NBA, not so much out there that's free out there, that's for sure.
I mean, here are your free agents, okay? Kevin Durant. Paul Millsap, who's about 100 years old. Hassan Whiteside from Miami.
Great start. He's been a disaster since. Although he would fit in with what the Celtics need.
Harrison Barnes. Although, actually, those guys have player options, so they don't even count.
Right, right.
So, they have player options, so a lot of them will probably opt out. DeAndre Jordan, do you want him?
Oh, he's again. I've always liked him,
but he's lost a lot, like from 3 years ago when he had that big run with the Clippers.
Yeah, but
you know?
Boy, is he a beast on the boards! Yeah, I mean, he would be a serious defensive. And they kept trying to get Baines to be that kind of guy, and it just never happened.
I mean, do you want Goran Dragic? There's a point guard from Miami.
No,
he's faded.
And by the way, Arnie, you talk about, I'm going to save all this money with Kyrie.
Yeah.
You are aware that a lot of these guys get huge money.
Yeah,
Who would you consider better, Kyrie Irving or Goran Dragic?
Kyrie.
Okay. Well, Kyrie this year made $18.8 million. Goran Dragic made $17 million.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're overpaying somebody. So whoever Kyrie's replacement is going to be massively overpaid.
I understand what goes on in the NBA. It's a lot different than the NFL, where I say you can't give this guy that much money because you're taking it away from somebody else. I understand.
I mean, Kyrie made $18.8 million. Ricky Rubio made $14 million this
Ricky year. Ricky Rubio, I'm not a fan of. That's a wasted $14 million.
But I'm just saying, like, you're overpaying. Like, I want you to bring back Kyrie, give him the max deal. If it's not Kyrie getting the max deal, it's going to be somebody else getting a deal you don't...
At least it'll be somebody who doesn't have an attitude.
Michael Kidd Gilchrist makes $13.5 million.
Jeez, I should have been an NBA player. Why was I not 6'8"?
We're in the wrong bleeping business.
Why was I not 6'8", for crying out loud? Why does my kid play hockey?
Iman Shumpert makes $10 million.
Like, that was from Cleveland, right? That was the Knicks. Was it the Knicks that gave him the deal or Cleveland that gave him the deal? All you need is one dumb owner.
Right.
All you need, those are two dumb owners.
Lord knows the Knicks have one.
So yeah, well, it was either him or Cleveland, so you got a pretty good deal there. No doubt about that. I think that was in the LeBron run when he got the money. Heck, you got Thompson. Look how much Thompson's making. You want to talk about a waste of money.
Well, he's making a lot more off the court than
it. Doesn't make as much as Kardashian, but, you know, he's making a boatload of money. Will said, Westbrook over Irving. Arnie, you need some quiet time.
Truth.
Well, you'll have plenty this week.
I don't understand that. You know, you're a guy who averages a triple-double the last 2 years. Don't act like he's some slouch out there. You're really underestimating him. 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, more on the Celtics, more on the Bruins as well.
All right, that's next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
All right, so you have an Amazon Echo. Just ask your Echo device to enable 101.3 The Game. Then anytime you want to listen, just say, open 101.3 The Game. The huddle is back on 101.3 The Game.
All right, this coming out 6 minutes ago from the Boston Red Sox on Twitter. No, nothing bad, nothing bad. Okay. Thank you to at the White House for hosting us today and honoring the 2018 World Series champions.
Thank you to the White House or thank you to President Trump?
No, to the White House.
Okay.
To the White House.
They didn't use his name.
It says thank you and it was at that symbol at White House.
Oh, okay.
For hosting, not hashtag. I don't know the difference between the two anyway. For hosting us today and honoring the 2018 World Series champion. So, I don't know, just kind of funny. Because, maybe they should have been a thanks for hosting us, even though half the team didn't show up and say, you're a bad person. They should have done that.
Did he say anything outrageous for the visit? I'm sure we'll hear about all of it.
No, I'm sure there'll be. That was only 6 minutes ago. I'm sure more tweets to come. So stick around for that.
So I guess it was J.D. Martinez and Chris Sale were sort of the captains, the representatives who stood next to the president. They said that's what it was.
Oh, is that what it was?
So.
There is a picture. So
yeah, they said that was going to be. Sale's probably still fuming that he didn't get the win last night after that masterpiece.
Yeah. I have a picture. I'll have to go through it because it's so crowded. But look, they're all dressed up, shirt and tie. And actually, here's the president. I can't see who's next to him, but I'll look it up.
This is great radio.
You say that every time I want to look something up, for crying out loud.
You do realize they can't see us.
That's okay, but I can tell them the answer. All right, go ahead, Brady. Mistake of the day.
802-655-6672. Get on in. Thanks to Embroidery Works, Joann's Uniforms in Colchester. It is your local shop for corporate apparel and corporate gifts. It's on Heineberg Drive in Colchester. How about this yesterday as we wrap up our Celtics talks for the day? Brad Stevens admitted that the outside noise got to the team. And, you know, what happened yesterday was less about what happened on the floor to me as it was the honesty and transparency that came after from a lot of people, from Marcus Morris, from Terry Rozier, from Al Horford, and from Brad Stevens. Stevens admitted that the outside noise got to the players. He basically said, how could it not? You hear about, you know, the social media effect of if they're not playing well. But then you get Tatum and Brown hearing that they're nothing more than trade bait. Like, again, you can be mad at Brad Stevens all you want, Arnie, but I appreciated his level of honesty because I think he's right. I think this team did play with a little bit of an insecurity at times, and I think a lot of the young players who, again, were told they were nothing more than trade bait.
Well, why? But, you know, why is that, you know, a hindrance? You know, they say, what other people say, it doesn't really make a difference. Kind of like the Red Sox saying it's not tearing up the clubhouse because half is going to the White House and half is not. That doesn't tear up a team, but having trade bait rumors and stuff like that is going to tear up a team? Come on, that's just making an excuse. That's part of playing in the NBA. Yep. You don't want your name in a trade rumor? Become a CPA or something like that, then become an accountant. You don't have to worry about a trade rumor out there.
Well, part of this problem stems from the fact that the expectations were so high. So, I mean, they become the human dartboard when they're told they're going to win 63 games or whatever in the preseason, and then they go out and lose to Phoenix and New York and all the other awful games they played this year against the Atlantas of the league. And I just think if they just go out and win, I mean, did we hear a lot of bad rumors about the Boston Red Sox last year online? I mean, it was just nothing because they were winning every night.
Well, it's not even just that, but when we're talking about 21, 22-year-old kids and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier, when you're reading, hey, they want to trade you to Phoenix. Hey, source says Tatum they could move him. Or, right. Well, what's going to happen for Anthony Davis? And if it's not happening for Davis now, it might happen for Davis in the offseason. I can understand where a 21, 22-year-old, Arnie, look, it's one thing for Kyrie
Irving. As an 18-year-old, he was told, I'll come visit you in jail, and that didn't bother him. Don't roll your eyes. That's a big thing. A teacher walks up to you at 18 years old and says, I'm going to visit you in jail. That motivated him. Yet these trade rumors, and he's making millions of dollars,
is
going to bother you?
This is a business.
Come on. Don't be so sensitive. Come on, Brady.
If you were told, Arnie, if you were hearing around the office, hey, I think Arnie might get fired.
That's part of being radio. They say you haven't been in radio until you get fired.
Well, that's your opinion. Yeah. If I was hearing rumors, there was a chance. You have the thickest skin of any human being.
Right, it wouldn't bother me whatsoever.
I don't believe that.
Not at all. Whatsoever.
I would be spending sleepless night after sleepless night because we're different personalities and that, and we handle that differently. I think it comes with the territory, but when you're 21, it doesn't make it any easier.
Well, let me ask you this, Arnie. I think you're right. It might not bother you now if you heard a scuttlebutt that you were going to get fired.
You'd
right.
love it.
The first time, though, you're telling me you were impervious to it. The very first time.
I don't remember the first time, so I can't remember how I felt at that point.
You've been fired so many times, you can't remember.
I don't think I've been fired at all. Just not a renewed contract. But, if you're going to let stuff like that bother you, outside noise, then you're in the wrong business. Trade rumors, you're in the wrong business. And like I said about Jaylen Brown, people have said a lot more horrible things to you growing up, and you use that as motivation. Use this as motivation. I mean, hell, a teacher tells you, I'll see you, I'll come visit you in jail, and you use that to get yourself into the NBA. But we may trade you to the Lakers, and you're going to go ahead and crumble and go into the corner and cry? No.
Look, Arnie, you also forget, though, that these people are people, okay? And they do go through real human emotions. And when you're hearing that you might be traded or that you're not valued enough by your employer, that can bother you. And these guys are 22 years old. They have real 21 and 22-year-old issues. Jason Tatum has a kid that's a year and a half old right now. So now Jason Tatum's dealing with this, and what's going to happen with my kid, and what's going to happen with the kid's mother, and I have a kid. I mean, come on.
That's called life, Brady.
Yes, it is.
All our listeners are going through that same exact thing right now. Matter of fact, my wife wrote in honeymoon. That's the last time we went on our honeymoon, and I heard that when I was going to get back, they weren't going to keep me. So I was totally fine with it. I walked in the office. I said, I got a year left on my contract. You're going to pay me. You're going to give me the money and I'm going to go away. I took my money and I left. So that's the way it was. You deal with life. Everybody's got kids or bills. They just happen to have more money than the rest of us. So it's probably easier to deal with stuff like that. Don't use that as an excuse. Everybody's got problems like that.
Yes, Brady, everybody has problems. Yeah. Everybody is going through life. You are 100% right about that.
Yeah.
But to sit here and say that just because they're in the NBA, they should be better, they should be able to handle it better than you or I can handle our own issues. Come on. You and I and Rich, we all have issues that we're dealing with. And you know what? It can affect you on a day-to-day basis at times, and it can affect your performance.
Yeah, but I feel like they've had more practice, though, and I use that term in quotes, as far as in the spotlight, best player on their teams, star athlete since they were 10 years old.
Not at 21, I don't. If you're telling me Kevin Durant is affected by this stuff, I'd say, okay, Kevin Durant's been doing it long enough that he's okay. If you're telling me 21-year-old Jason Tatum is affected by it, I'd say, yeah, I believe that.
How long is he not going to be affected? He's been in the league 2 years, 3, 4, 5. When is it going to be that he's not going to be a buttercup and not be affected by it, huh?
When you get that second contract and you know that a place really wants you.
Rams fan Rob says, come on, Brady, suck it up, buttercup. Chris says they're in the right business because they can score 20 points a game in the NBA. Again, every job, at least in a lot of radio jobs, you go through some stuff, whether you're at the top or you're at the bottom. So there's no perfect job out there.
By the way, why is your wife texting? That means she's listening. Isn't she clear across the country somewhere?
She's just leaving now, driving across to go to Ohio. So, yes, she's listening as she's getting out of town.
Man.
Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Well, it's our 4-minute football fix. We're going to talk with Samuel Gold of The Athletic, who tells us about Patriots first-round draft pick N'Keal Harry, because he just did a great film breakdown on him.
All right, that's coming up next. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
We know. Gotta go to Colto. Gotta walk. Watch the show. Who doesn't love a nice hot fire in the cold winter months? Kodo Japanese Steakhouse invites you to come and cozy up to their hibachi grills and let them cook your meal for you right before your eyes. It's a show for your entire table, complete with flames and fury. Japanese-style dining is where quality meets quantity and where health meets well-being. Enjoy a nice hot bowl of udon soup with noodles. It'll warm you through and through. Sip on hot sake while nibbling sushi from their award-winning sushi bar. You've got to go to Kodo. You've got to watch the show. Takeout's available, too. In fact, order it online at kodovt.com. Kodo, Japanese Steakhouse and Sushi Bar, where the Far East just got a little closer. Shelburne Road, South Burlington.
Kodo Japanese Steakhouse, for the great taste of Japan.
The Patriots are coming off another Super Bowl. And the Giants are looking to get back to relevance. We know the season is a ways away, but there's never an off-season for talking football. It's the 4-Minute Football Fix on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, welcome back. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game. It is a busy day, guys. I want to go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, NFL expert at The Athletic, it's Samuel Gold. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. And, of course, you're tied in with the Patriots pretty well. First of all, overall, you know, you were looking at the draft. You were breaking down the wide receivers. Were you surprised they were able to get such a good wide receiver with that first pick, number 32 overall?
I think they got a great pick, a great player for exactly who they're looking for in this draft. I think at 32, they only couldn't pick Marquise Brown, but out of all the other wide receivers, I think from a fit standpoint, N'Keal Harry is a great player for them.
Would you say they got the second best, the best one remaining, as it were?
In my personal rankings, I had DK Metcalf as higher rated. But I understand that other people didn't, and I understand that obviously NFL franchises didn't because he fell to the end of the second. But I think it'd be reasonable to say that he's easily top three or top four. It's still a very high quality pick.
Sam, you mentioned the fit in that Patriots offense. What makes N'Keal Harry such a good fit for New England?
It's about his versatility. It's that anytime he touches the ball, I mean, he comes alive. It's his ability to create yards after the catch. I mean, in addition to that, he also has really good contested catch ability with really good hand strength, and he can also leap and snag the ball out of the air. And I feel like based on his versatility and how he runs a very controlled, smooth route and how he has pretty crisp footwork, just basically get out of his breaks with minimal extra steps, I feel like he can run all the timing patterns in the Patriots offense. So, for example, I think he's a perfect fit for what's called the big slot role, where basically he can be flexed around using the flanker, so he's lining up off the line of scrimmage. He can go into the slot if they want to put Edelman on one side of the field, him on the other, or both in the slot on one side if they go trips. And then he can also be used in motions and gadget plays. So it's, in my opinion, it's his versatility and competitiveness that really makes him, like, it basically embodies the whole Patriot way in that aspect.
Edelman and Philip Dorsett, those guys are set. Those are certainties for New England. Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas, those are maybes, but they're enticing maybes. If all four of those guys end up working out for New England, how does that impact N'Keal Harry? Because now you're talking about five really good wide receivers if they're all there and available.
Great question. I think that, again, based on his skill set, that it's so that it doesn't matter if there's other good wide receivers on the team. And the thing with Demaryius Thomas, the thing with Josh Gordon is that those guys are X receivers, is that those are more of your prototypical larger X receivers that more or less get the one-on-ones. I don't think Harry should be given that responsibility. I think he's more of a move option. Like, for example, I think he'd be much better lining up off line of scrimmage so he gets free releases. That way that he can eat the cushion with the speed and build up that speed, and then he can use the crispness of his routes in order to basically create as much separation as he can, because, I mean, he still needs help on that, but in order to basically create plays down the field with that extra free release that he gets.
Yeah. You know, Sam, the Patriots and Belichick have missed out on wide receivers before. Why is it so tough to go ahead and grade wide receivers coming into the draft?
It's a good question. I mean, it turns out that wide receiving, just generally in the entire in the entire NFL is a very hard position to translate. Because it's you have to understand not only how you run your routes, you have to understand defensive coverages, and then you have to understand how your routes will be affected by those coverages. Running against that versus man coverage or versus press is completely different. You know, it's your release is different. It's completely different. And so that it's adapting all your routes and understanding where in the field, where you need to be. And that's a big problem, is that the understanding of just the term spacing, the idea of that if you have four wide receivers, say you're running four verts, which is, you know, the classic Madden play, you know, everyone goes deep. It's understanding where on the field you have to be. You have to be on the seam or by the numbers. You have to be up the sideline pulling your safety this way. And it's just something that's a lot more difficult than most people realize. It's not as big of a plug and play position as we think, as with like the running back, for instance, or even going down to like a position like a guard, where it's you're either pass blocking or you're run blocking. It's you're adapting to more of the defense, and then I just think it's harder to adapt.
Sam, last question, N'Keal Harry again. How much does he help in the red zone? The team loses Gronk. How much does Harry help in the red zone?
I think he helps a lot. I think he's much better suited for running slant routes and for crossing routes. While he does have that contested catch ability and the ability to leap up and grab those balls, his releases as a goal line fade receiver, they need improvement. It's as simple as that. He'll take way too many steps. He's a little bit indecisive. And I feel like if you can get him on a good release plan and a good plan based and situationally, I think he's going to infinitely get better just automatically.
He's Sam Gold, NFL expert at The Athletic. Sam, great job, my friend. We have to do it again, especially as we get closer to the season.
We'd love to. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go. The 4-minute football fix. Thanks to Sam Gold, NFL expert at The Athletic, for stopping on by. Patriot season right around the corner, Rich. So what do you mean?
Hockey first?
No.
Is that not done yet?
Just around the corner.
It is just around. We're in May.
Yes.
So when do we get the first preseason game?
August?
I think maybe like the very last weekend in July for the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, we get that one bogus game.
Which is the one where Arnie tells us over and over again, preseason is the
free season. Yeah.
Not if you're buying a ticket.
And then he does his preseason Hall of Fame.
Anthony says, yes, exactly. Anthony at Essex Junction. As always, Brady eloquently said, Arnie, just because you feel or do not feel something doesn't mean everyone else feels the same emotion. You're 54, right? Where does it say?
Were you this evolved? And I am trying to be kind at 20 or 25.
What did I say? I don't understand. What did I say,
no
Brady?
Idea.
Yeah. What did I say that?
Apparently, you said it eloquently.
You were insensitive to the idea that Tatum and Brown could be affected by outside noise. And by the way, Anthony's our smartest listener, and he belongs on the Brady and the Bunch podcast.
Actually, Will in Plattsburgh might be our smartest. Good show. Great show, fellas. Enjoyed the spirited discussion.
You know, I got to say, well, I come from the Bronx, New York. I know a lot of these guys say they come from either broken homes or bad neighborhoods. I can't imagine somebody on Twitter bothering me or upsetting me more than where I grew up in. And some of the stuff I saw there. So
when did you leave the Bronx?
I left when I was 13.
You always say that you're 13. LA.
Yes. 13 years old, and that, believe me, that could be almost a lifetime in the Bronx. Just that these kids see so much now, and a Twitter saying that you may be traded. I mean, my God, have you seen the news? What goes on with shootings and even elementary school kids now have to be worried about being gunned down, and they're more savvy. And a tweet telling you that you may be traded, I find that comical. I really do.
People's jobs and their livelihood. Yeah. Do not compare those things.
Well, okay, but I still find it comical that a tweet saying that you may be traded or you may not be traded can really, you know, send you in a wrong direction.
If you heard that your girlfriend might break up with you.
Well, that's life, though. That's somebody you want to spend your whole life with. This is just a job.
It would affect you. Okay, if you heard, if four friends came to you, hey, I think Stacy might, Stacy, you and Stacy on the outs? No, I thought we were great. She might be breaking up with you. Oh my God, well, I better ship up because she might dump me. You'd be affected by it.
If you told me, hey, you're going to Wilson Central School, you may not get to play on my team. That's okay, I can live with that, Brady. That's what I equate it to. Last story standing before we finish out the show. We'll get to that. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, last story standing comes from Boston. Is our buddies, what is it, Toucher and Rich?
Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
They were talking hockey this morning with a Carolina Hurricane insider.
Right,
a beat reporter. Listen to hear how the conversation went. Go ahead, Brady.
But then the puck started going in a little bit more. And then in January, they traded for Nino Niederreiter.
I can't listen to a guy with a southern accent talk about hockey.
Did you hang up on him?
Yep.
That was pretty good.
Nope.
I thought it was all right. Yeah.
Nope.
Really?
Your southern accent, I can't take it.
He hung up on the guy.
Hockey and southern accents.
But, there are teams, hockey teams in the South. Many, in fact.
There's Florida,
has a couple of good teams.
Dallas.
One really good team.
They don't have southern accents. You got to fly a guy in from Canada.
Can you imagine us doing that to a guest?
I don't know if Toucher's a big guy.
He is.
I'd punch him right in his face.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I'm not kidding around.
It's probably happened before.
If you're the guest? Yeah.
If I was the guest and if I can get near him, I'd walk up to him and punch him right in his face.
They have a very popular show down there.
That guy worked at the newspaper that my dad used to work at, the Raleigh News and Observer.
Really?
Both my mom and dad worked there.
That is so damn rude.
It is, because these people.
That is so damn, because somebody has an accent.
Yeah, but the thing is, a little inside on this, which I'm sure you know anyway, but all those guests that we have on are doing it for nothing. They they're willing to spend 10 minutes of their busy day talking to us here in Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah.
So,
guest booking is one of my favorite and least favorite parts of the job, because it's so stressful. And to just dump one like that, it's totally disrespectful.
I always try to be accommodating. When people ask me to go on their shows, if I had them on my show, I will, return the favor. Yeah. If somebody wants me on and I feel like doing it, I'll return the favor. But to hang up on somebody, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's out of bounds.
That's just what we need, more Bruins hate in the South.
Tell everybody what's going on with the Bruins today.
Speaking of the Bruins, game one just a while away. 7:30 actually here on 101.3 The Game. That'll be the pregame show. Yankees-Seattle wrap up the series from the Bronx. That's underway right now with the pregame show on WVMT.
Let's go Mariners.
Let's go Mariners.
Let's go Bruins.
My Mariners, and like you said, Carolina and the Bruins on the big station. 101.3 The Game. How about that? I made the big call.
We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.